For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The 11th ranked Ohio State women's basketball team got back in the win column last night at the Shot. 29 points by sophomore Jelani Cambridge powered the Buckeyes to an 81-58 win over Wisconsin. The victory bumps Ohio State to 19-3 overall, 8-2 in the Big Ten. They're two games back of number two UCLA. The Buckeyes won't play the Bruins in the regular season, but Ohio State will return to the Shot on Sunday hosting Nebraska. As for the OSU men's squad, Ohio State heads to Madison to battle Wisconsin tomorrow at 2. You can hear that one on The Fan with coverage at 1 o'clock. In college football, it's already been a pretty busy offseason for Ohio State. You can hear from the head coach of the Buckeyes tonight at 6 p.m. for a special Ryan Day radio show. Then the Blue Jackets battle the Blackhawks at 8:30. This update is sponsored by Uber Eats. Uber Eats has a great deal waiting for you at El Vaquero. From now until March 31st, buy one quesadilla deal, get one free on the app. Terms apply. Breaking sports news on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Well, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then,
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a frigid Friday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. College football futures coming up at 9:30, 9:45, an early edition of the Shelly Time. Jackets in Chicago against the Blackhawks. Coming up at 10:30, Tim May will join us as customary. 11 o'clock, what we learned. We'll get smarter at 11:30 with Doug Lamorese. It's really cold, guys. It's really cold. And one of the casualties of it being really cold was this morning. Today's garbage day for us, and I had to wheel the bins out, the recycling in the garbage bin. And because it is so cold, and because the snow is so dry, and because the bins are made of plastic, there is a sound that comes from plastic against dry snow that is smashed that almost makes it to where I can't operate. And the thought of even thinking about it now, the sound, if you're not familiar with this sound, I would say it's similar to like styrofoam tearing is what it sounds like to me. And I'm not a big sound drives me nuts guy. But that one particular sound damn near crippled me this morning. Hearing that plastic hit dry snow, like the tearing of styrofoam. It's the one. I mean, it gives me chills right now thinking about it. It took all I had to walk them up the drive and get them up there without to be able to get it done. It was really that dicey.
Yeah, it's our equivalent of nails on chalkboard. It's like, they don't have that sound anymore.
Do you guys know that sound?
But yeah, I did it this morning.
It's awful.
Like, I just lifted up both cans. I'm like, nope, not doing this one. Because it's the most packable snow I can remember. I mean, maybe since, that snowstorm in 08? Has it been that packable?
That was wet, though, because it was in March. I mean, this is just dry powder. You got any sounds, Bick?
I'm trying to think. Like, I don't know if anything really, really gets me sound-wise. I know what you're talking about with the trash cans, though. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's almost like taking two pieces of styrofoam and rubbing them together.
Or tearing it.
Yeah.
Like people tear styrofoam.
I don't know if there's really any sounds that not a lot bothers me, Bo, except for somebody named Emmanuel Acho, which
we'll get to.
We've long teased that, obviously.
Yeah, we'll get to that today. Yeah.
There's not a lot of things like that bother me.
It's interesting you mentioned that about the chalkboard, Reese, and how chalkboards don't exist. There were few things more satisfying. We had a sixth grade teacher named Mrs. Keith, who her punishment was you had to clean the chalkboard. So there were the erasers that looked like a regular dry erase that you still have. So you'd use those to get it off. But then there was a better eraser that had like a leather to it that would make the chalkboard almost like clean. And there was something oddly satisfying about that punishment. But that's one of those things that we'll never see again. You're never going to see chalkboards again. That's
Now it's like whimsical chalkboard paint that if you want to do that to your room,
yeah,
you can do that. But yeah, just chalkboards.
They're
anywhere, gone.
I don't even know if people use dry erase anymore. Like when I think of the kids, I mean, I use it for coaching all the time, but I feel like most kids use everything's on their computer. All of it. We had a terrifying discussion on the way to school today because of we were talking about how, oh, there it is. There, you got your dry erase. You're set, Bake.
I don't know where this came from, but it popped up. It popped up in the producer studio like 2 weeks ago, and it's just been in here ever since.
Like, to send notes to Mike.
A stinking whiteboard right here. Like, I thought it was Woody Pages. This.
You're going to see T's appear on there and then out. It's going to start giving us cues that way.
Start putting like little Woody Page sayings on here and just keeping them behind me.
There you go. We had an it was a terrifying day to school for Beamsy today in that we were discussing the fact that 2 days ago, Elon Musk said that they're not going to produce Model S and Model X Teslas anymore. And the Model S Tesla was a massive debut when it debuted because it was a really cool looking, relatively high priced luxury sedan that was electric that people wanted. And that set it off in terms of that company, and it's now obviously he's the richest man in the world and everything that's come with it, but he's selling the two smaller ones, the 3 and the Y, but he's not going to sell the S's and X's anymore. This is the last year of production of it. And as we were having this conversation, we were in a Model S and we were talking about it, and the boys were like, well, Dad, what's he going to do? And he's going to shift to robotics and AI is what he's going to shift to. So we got into this whole, I mean, this is in a 15 minute to go 3 blocks car ride, which is how long it took. And again today, because of the drop-off, but that's a whole other conversation. And we had this 15-minute conversation. At one point, NBC's like, so, Dad, there's not going to be jobs anymore, is there? And I said, no. And he goes, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'm going to be fine, but you guys might be really screwed up. So I said, you better figure out something that you can do. And so the Beamsy lifts his head up, and he doesn't say a whole hell of a lot. And he looks his head up, and he just goes, I do not like robots. And I said, same, brother. I'm with you. The dark days, they are coming on that side of things. And I said, buddy, don't watch I Am Legend. Isn't that the one? Is that the one?
Or Will Smith one. iRobot, I think, is the one you're thinking of. Where the robots finally say, yeah, we've had enough of this.
Yeah, it's coming.
Yes.
Every time I see those guys from Boston, that Boston tech place with those running around things that look like dogs and humans, like, no thanks, man.
And I don't know if they've showed it, but you know they've put a gun on one of those things. You know, somewhere in the desert or somewhere in overseas, they're goofing around with that thing and it's just got a gun on a turret.
Of course.
And they're shooting it at things.
Have you guys ever been in a city that has the robot delivery pods?
So those are cruising around Ohio State's campus.
Oh, they are.
You can order food.
Yep.
And you'll see a bunch of those little white vehicles trucking on the oval. We were in San Francisco back in December and they had the driverless taxis. And that was pretty trippy because there was a person in the back seat. There were no persons in the front seats.
No.
That was a shock.
Bo, so, I'm afraid this is going to get cut up, but do you guys have the wholesale club BJ's up in Cleveland area?
We don't, no.
So there's
I've seen them, though.
There's a couple of
there's
them
one here?
Down here. Yeah, there's a few of them. And they have this little robot that just continually goes around the floor there cleaning and it like makes this whistle noise. It's like,
oh my God,
like all the time, like every 5 seconds.
Oh,
and
no.
These things just constantly go around the store, keeping the floors clean at all times.
I've seen in UA, the things that mow your lawn.
Oh yeah.
The little Roombas that have that.
Yep.
It feels next level.
It's all bad, man. It's all bad.
It looks like a big turtle walking around the yard.
I swear they're going to put a gun on one of those things.
They have. I'm sure that's happened for sure. Yeah, we were in Beverly Hills last year for spring break. Did like the LA thing before we went to Orange County for a couple of days, but we were in the, just kind of did the LA tour thing, went to Staples and Beverly Hills and did all the touristy stuff, the theaters and or the studios and all that. And we were having having lunch at Nate and Al's, which is right on, right off of Rodeo. And as we walked out, there were two of those little delivery robot things that looked like little R2-D2s. I'm like, this is, I don't want this universe. I don't want this world at all. I mean, this is crazy where we're heading. And it's a world that my kids are going to have to get used to and live in and try to make the best of it, man. It's going to be brutal, brutal out there in the streets.
The Amazon delivery drones.
Yeah. Well, they dropped 16,000 people. And that's where it's all happening, man. It's crazy where we're all going. Speaking of crazy and where we're going, actually where we already are, the game has changed. And what happened last night on a basketball hardwood is, I think, the one of the latest best examples of how Steph Curry had more to do with the changes of that sport than perhaps anybody ever. We will get into that, get your futures on the college football side a little of things, and have a little fun along the way. We're off and running on a Friday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hey, what's up? It's Tebow.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Jude, every innovation we make is a moment we give to children with cancer everywhere. But we can't do it without you.
Learn more at stjude.org.
Hey, it's T-Bone again.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Jackets hit the road for a battle with the Blackhawks. Live fan coverage starts Friday night at 8.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating and Cooling.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather
from the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are looking at a mix of clouds and sunshine here for your Friday, but still very cold temperatures with highs only in the mid to upper teens here for this afternoon. Winds out of the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And as we head into the weekend, we are still tracking a mix of clouds and sunshine, and temperatures staying into the teens to near 20 here as we head through your Saturday and Sunday. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Have you already started your tailgate? Us too. It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. The best hair on the air. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
So last night in the association, two of, by the way, the idea that Duke didn't win a national championship with these two cats last year is just nuts. Con Knuppel and Cooper Flagg played against each other, Mavericks and Charlotte. And this isn't what this is about, but there is something that happened in this game that is the latest illustration of how much, in my belief, Steph Curry changed the way that a sport is played. And I think you have to really think long and hard to come up with a singular athlete in another sport that so greatly shifted the way that the game is played the way that Curry did in the NBA. Steph Curry was the first guy to realize that you didn't, or to make it acceptable to not just shoot a ton of threes, but to shoot a ton of threes from deep. Before that, everybody went to the line. You tried to get to the as close you could to the three-point line. Every offense was trying to get to the three-point line. And because of Steph's stature, he realized that I'm not always going to get there. So let's take a step or two back. And it happened at around the time that things like Dirk Nowitzki, and if you want to go even further back, back into the 90s, Arvydas Sabonis, the European influence kind of melded with this, and these two things all came together. And now we have a situation where in the sport, everyone can shoot it. No matter what your size is, everyone can shoot it. So last night, two rookies went head-to-head in a game of two really bad teams. But what happened in the game is the illustration that I want to get into a little bit now. Cooper Flagg scored 49. It's the most points that a teenager has ever scored in the history of the association. By the way, he also had 10. They list Cooper 10 rebounds, 3 assists. They list him as a forward, but if you watched him at all, he's the point guard is what he is. He's primary ball. Same way they insist in the old days of listing LeBron as a power forward or a small forward. He's always been a point guard. Like, I don't understand the designation of him as a forward. Go ahead, Ben.
He just took right over for Luka.
That's it.
Just right.
He does the exact same thing.
Yep.
Not as good, but he does the exact same thing. Now, he's 6'9". Cooper Flagg is 6'9". Cooper Flagg in this game last night, playing point guard, went 20 of 29 from the field, 3 of 5 from the three-point line, and 6 of 6 from the free throw line. Now, his three-point shooting hasn't been like that all year, but he's capable of that. And the fact that he's 6'9 and capable of that tells you where this sport currently is. And yes, there's been 6'9 point guards before. My favorite player of all time is a 6'9 point guard, but he couldn't shoot a lick. Magic Johnson could not shoot a lick. And maybe if he would have thought about shooting, in those days, everything was about getting the ball to the rim. Now it's not. Now it's about getting to the line and so forth. In the same game, Con Knepel, who is the former Duke teammate with him, who is having an incredible year for Charlotte, also he had 34 points, but what's incredible about that is he went 8 of 12 from 3. 8 of 12 from 3. These are Con Knepel's stats on the year shooting. He's shooting 49% from the field. He's a perimeter shooter. That's what he is. He's a perimeter shooter. He's shooting nearly 50% from the field. He's shooting 43% from 3 and 90% from the line. The ability to shoot at a high level is now a necessity. It's been one for a while. And the reality is that more and more kids are growing up shooting it well. And it's something I see at the youth level. We were just having the conversation with our sixth grade, the guy I coached sixth grade with. It's like, it's pretty simple at this grade. If you don't hit more threes than your opponent, you're going to lose. It's kind of that simple. Like, it might, you guys haven't been around like the youth stuff in a while. It might surprise you to know that like the average amount of threes our sixth graders hit in a game are somewhere between 6 and 10 every game. I mean, I couldn't even shoot them in sixth grade. Coach would not allow it. I couldn't shoot a three until I was in eighth grade. They wouldn't allow it. All these kids shoot now. We played a kid last weekend, hit 6 threes. Sixth grade kid hit 6 threes, had 5 threes at half. Like you can't, these are 12-year-olds. It's happening in 10-year-olds. Like these kids can shoot it better than they ever have before. And I think it's a combination of the European influence of everybody can shoot, everybody can handle. And then Steph really elevated it because he was, this was one elite trait that he had. He's got about a billion, but he has this one that he does better than anybody else who's ever done it. And it's inspired a generation of kids who just grew up shooting the lights out.
I like the theme of the show where Steph Curry is AI. And he just doing it, and it became so popular, and it just ruined everything. Because like for the Charlotte Hornets, who won a game that really bad basketball teams, the 41 threes attempted by Charlotte, that was less than what the Cavs attempted the other night against the Lakers.
Yeah,
the Cavs had 44 attempts. Like that's on like the lower end of some of these games where it does feel like they're just junking up threes almost as soon as they cross half court. Like they cross half court, and because they're giant human beings, they take a couple of steps, they look around, nobody's open, here's a three.
Yeah, and they can make them.
Mm-hmm.
Bo, you talk about the youth level and the sixth graders and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I've been to a little more than a handful of eighth and ninth grade basketball games the past couple of years because my buddy's son plays, and one of the things that stood out to me every time I was there is how many times a kid would have a decent look inside and he would pass it out to three-point shooters.
It happens all
the time. And I was thinking back when you and I were growing up, like if you were inside and didn't take that shot, you'd get benched. You're not playing anymore. But none of these kids anymore, there's no post game. Mm-mm. They don't understand. Like, they look lost. When they get the ball under the hoop and their back is to the basket, they look lost. They're, like, frantic. Like, I don't know what to do right now. Where is somebody else that I can give this ball to? And it's just such a change. And I kind of, it's almost like Steph has what Jordan did in changing the game with Jordan mm-hmm. and the athletic ability and the things that he did that nobody else could, and then people tried to emulate that. It's almost like it's gone through another recreation with Steph now.
Yeah, yeah. I think I was trying to think of other athletes that kind of had this, and it's probably like Gretzky. Gretzky through Lemieux before like Lou Lamoriello got it changed with New Jersey, and they flipped how they played, and they really suffocated hockey in the mid-90s to late-90s. They really shut it down. And there aren't a whole lot of examples of it, though, of truly revolutionary. This is the way we used to play this game, and we don't play it anymore. Football has it a little bit. Obviously, most teams throw it more than they run it now. And some of that, I think, has to do with the way that the game is called and officiated, because you can't hit the quarterback. You can't hit receivers high. Like, it's just easier to throw it now than it's ever been.
With football, though, it's almost like it's more, when you think of things like that, you think of a team like 86 Bears defense.
Yeah.
The run and shoot offense, the greatest show on turf. Like, you never think of one individual person with that. It's like a whole side of the ball on a team.
Well, you know, it may have been like the Ronnie Lott, Steve Atwaters that changed it. It may have been Tom Brady getting hit at the knee and after winning the Super Bowl, and that changed it. There are a couple of those things, but it's not like Steph, where it's like one singular player shifted what is cool in a sport. Because to your point, if you are anywhere in your 40s and probably mid-30s or better, and you played basketball growing up, everything that you were taught was to go to the rim. Every play you ran was for a layup. It was always get layups, get layups, get layups. It was never build to the outside and shoot it. But this is, I mean, Cooper Flagg 6'9", Knepel's 6'6". I mean, I can't even imagine a dude going 8 of 12 from 3, and that's just kind of what's expected out of him. That's just normal. Shooting 44% from NBA 3. That's just normal. It's just what the sport is now. It's wild.
And if you want to feel really old, Klay Thompson was coming off the bench this season. The Dallas Mavericks. Like, that was also with the Steph Curry thing. Like, you had that kind of running mate.
Right? Yeah,
I don't know if I think Curry has the kind of change he had on the game of basketball, but it was, I think, expedited because he had Klay Thompson there as well.
We had two of them. You're right, and Klay's 6'7", so you had two of them who could do it that way. By the way, every time I see Klay Thompson now, I just think of Megan Thee Stallion.
There's still a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Love indoors, I guess. There was a fake tweet rolling around last night, and it's fake, that Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson had split.
My heart dropped.
Don't fall for it, guys. Always double check.
Can you imagine like that they got through the Belichick and Hudson thing? Like they got through all of the scrutiny. That must be true love. Got through all the scrutiny. Damn near cost him his job at North Carolina. But even more impressive than that, somehow he got through Thanksgiving and the holidays unscathed. Like
Jordan
somehow
was
able to get
years.
Through it.
Just a couple more years. Hang on. 74.
She's got to get that ring.
74. Just a couple more years.
She's got to get that ring.
What do you think is going to happen? They get engaged first, or he makes the Hall of Fame?
Well, here's one. Will she be at his induction?
Will she induct him?
Unless there's a cheerleading event she's got to go to.
That's the other part of it that's so great, that she does like the adult cheerleading and it's like takes it
really
seriously.
You got to follow your passions, man.
Do you imagine her trying to run the Hall of Fame ceremony like she did that CBS interview?
There's no question she's going to run the party. There's no question. By the way, you guys know.
She is his party.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's going to set up the party that happens. When Joe Thomas went in, I went to his Hall of Fame party. It was at Gervasi up there outside of Canton. Incredible. Everything you'd want. Like the guy from Florida Georgia Line, they flew him in and he sang Cruise. Like that type of stuff happened. Fireworks, ridiculous, like jewelry, custom jewelry being made, like cigar stands. And it is the most elaborate party I've ever seen. And then the crazy thing happens because you'll see all of a sudden like a car will pull up with nothing but gold jackets. So like pouring out of one car was like Marcus Allen, Calvin Johnson, Ed Reed walking into Joe's. And they basically just get in cars and go from one party, one Hall of Fame party to the next all over Stark County is the way that it kind of works. It's crazy. But one of the deals about the Hall of Fame parties is the owners of the player who goes in are on the hook for the party.
Oh, Kraft ain't footing that bill.
That's what I'm saying. Is Bob Kraft going to pay for Bill Belichick's Hall of Fame party? That'll be fun. That'll be very, very fun. All right, coming up next, speaking of fun, we've got a little bit of fun with some future betting on the college football side of things. We're a long ways out, obviously, but where do the Buckeyes land on favorites, and who else is an interesting one you could take a flyer on? We'll get to that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. We can do more.
Enough already. We can find a cure.
Enough already.
We can do better for our kids.
Enough already. We are relying on you.
We can come together to support Children's Cancer Research Fund, a national nonprofit dedicated to ending childhood cancer that is on the front line of breakthroughs. Because
it's enough already.
Go to childrenscancer.org today.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
All right, here's what's up on a first time since what? August? No football Friday?
Wow.
No football this weekend, kids.
I don't like that.
Nope. Nope. No football this weekend. First time since August that we've had that case. And I was talking to Dylan when I was talking to the boys this morning, and he goes, what am I going to do? And I said, well, dude, aren't you in the middle of the Sopranos rewatch? He's like, in the middle of season two. I said, you got no worries, brother. You got four more seasons of television. You got everything that you're going to want there. But we don't. We don't have football. So we thought we'd have a little fun with the no football and talk football. So
we got the Pro Bowl on Tuesday.
It's on Tuesday?
That's Tuesday?
I didn't know that.
The Pro Bowl games. It's not just game. It's games.
I guess the Senior Bowl is tomorrow. And that's also a thing.
There you go. None of that stuff. Now, it's crazy because that stuff all used to be games. Like real games. Like, you know, people would try,
yeah.
Which is kind of crazy. I think Sean Taylor probably ruined that with the way he participated in the Pro Bowl. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just Google that one and you'll see. My hunch is that probably changed it. But yeah, they used to. So the Pro Bowl used to be the week after the Super Bowl and everybody played in it. Now, I don't remember those games enough as a kid to know if everybody tried. I have no idea. Like, I can't imagine they were in Honolulu, like, knocking each other's heads off. But they played a game, and everybody played in it. And one of the things that was a big perk was it was a free vacation to Hawaii. That was the deal. It was on the NFL, on us. And then I don't know if the money got too big or the players didn't see the value in that anymore. I don't know. But it still rates. And if they still did it, it would still rate, for sure. But so now they're doing it Tuesday?
And it's in San Francisco, California this year.
Same as the Super Bowl. So they're trying to turn it into NFL week is what they're trying to do, like a week's worth of content.
Yeah. 7-on-7 flag football game and skills challenges.
I mean, let's just call it like it is. And a lot of people will still watch this stuff on Tuesday because it's football and it's the NFL. But the NFL and the NHL all-star games are just really brutal. They really suck. And the reason they suck is because you can't play a collision sport half-assed without getting hurt. So nobody wants to hit. Nobody wants to be physical. And because of that, and the NBA one's bad too. Nobody tries in that anymore. They've tried all sorts of things to make that. But you still get some, I suppose, entertaining stuff, but it's bad. The baseball one used to be the best because there was true pride in American versus National League. That's gone. Now, for sure. I mean, they tried everything, including making like home field of the World Series to the winner, all of those things. None of them really clicked. So I just think there's the other thing you have to acknowledge as you're getting older is there just is so much more to watch and consume.
Yeah.
I mean, we were starved for anything. You had 3 channels or 20. Now you got a billion. So it's just different. There's just more things to watch. So we were taking a look at this. I saw 11 Warriors with this, and On3 did a composite of the early preseason rankings, and with that came a composite of the DraftKings FanDuel consensus favorites to win the national championship next year. And Before we get into this too specifically with the numbers, I do think as I look at this thing and you think about teams who you could envision winning a national title, I do think this is something that has been a very positive, and we saw the proof of it with Indiana the last 2 years, even Ole Miss, that's been a really positive is the sport has flattened out. College football for its entire existence has been a pretty sturdy caste system of haves and have-nots. And it was very difficult if you were a have-not to somehow break into the haves. If you were of royal blood, then you kind of stayed of royal blood. And if you were a commoner, a pleb, then you kind of stayed there. This now is those caste lines are gone. They've completely evaporated. And so with that comes a college football list of teams that I think I could go truly, guys, 15 deep and say, yeah, why not? And so for you, if you are someone who likes to bet on these types of things, and at the moment we don't have a betting sponsor, so I'm not going to make too big a deal about anybody on that. But if you wanted to do that, I would tell you there's some good opportunities out here. So this is the DraftKings FanDuel consensus that 11 Warriors put together. The number one pick to win the national championship is Notre Dame. Plus 675. Now, all you have to do is look at Notre Dame's schedule and you go, oh, I get it. I get it. That's a pretty safe bet that they're going to be in the playoff. Hard to imagine a situation that they're not. Marcus's team is really loaded anyway, and obviously returning quarterback who was really good this year, so that adds to it. The number two choice is split three ways. Ohio State plus 700, Texas plus 700, and Indiana plus 700. So that is the Indiana one especially. Texas and Ohio State, I get returning quarterbacks, returning skill guys. I get that. Indiana is a complete odds bet on Cignetti is the greatest coach who ever lived. That's what it's a bet on because his roster is going to be very, very different next year than it was this year, including at the quarterback position. Now, they were good in the portal. I have no idea if the Hoover kid is good. I saw him play SMU this year, and that was about it. Beyond that, Oregon is at plus 925, so they're next on that one. To me, they should be preseason. They would be my preseason number one going into next season based on Dante Moore returning, what they did in the portal, and what they did in recruiting. Go ahead, Reese.
Well, just over the last two seasons for the Ducks, would you put any money on Oregon to win anything right now? I understand if they're like the betting favorite. I understand that if maybe they get votes for the number one team in the preseason AP poll. But when you put actual money on the Ducks, like where would your confidence? Because I wouldn't. I mean,
well, so here's my pushback. Who did they lose to the last 2 years?
You're right.
The teams that won it.
Sure.
That's it. They lost twice to Indiana this year.
How'd they lose those games?
Well, one of them, two of them, they got bombed. We bombed them in the Rose Bowl, and then Indiana bombed them this year. But those are their only losses, are to those two teams the last 2 years. So I at some point, like the talent, I'm with you. You're gonna Dan Lanning's now in the same spot that like Sark's in. Like I got to see you do it now. At this point, I mean that's you've been knocking at the door for at the same place Ryan was in before he won it.
Yeah.
Like, you got to go win the damn thing now. So I think that's where they're at. Georgia is plus 1,100, then Miami plus 1,400. That is the biggest bet ever on just, we trust that you're going to get the portaling done, except for maybe this one. LSU is plus 1,450 with 44 new players. Now, they're good players. They got a lot of good players, but they are plus 1,450 there. Texas Tech plus 1,450, then Texas A&M at plus 1,700. Who of these are intriguing to you?
Georgia, just for the value there, and I trust that they'll at least be knocking on the door. Like,
yeah,
that's a semi. Like, you're telling me Georgia makes the championship game next season? Sure, I totally believe that. Mm-hmm. Everybody, I mean, obviously the top three, but the value is not as much fun. So I'm looking for fun value. I would throw some money at Texas Tech. I'm looking at FanDuel. They're plus 1,400. Big 12's another.
Do you like Texas Tech more than LSU?
I do.
Do you?
Because I think the component for LSU is Lane Kiffin and how he handles all of this. And historically, I don't think we've seen Lane Kiffin handle this kind of pressure really well. Where he's thrust in a situation, you're like, are we sure about this?
Yeah.
Because there's, again, like you talk about, the roster turnover, the thrust back into the SEC, they're going to be the darling team. When the primetime schedules come out, you're going to see a lot of LSU football. on your ESPN this fall.
Oh, yeah.
How's he going to handle that?
Yeah, I don't know. We won't know. And that's the thing that's also interesting here is, like, you're doing a bet on the coaches, too. Like, which coach do you trust in all of this? I do think, like, A&M at plus 1,700, like, they run back quarterback. Marcel Reed's coming back. They've recruited well, portaled well. Now, they benefited from a very soft SEC schedule this past year. I haven't even looked at who they play this year or who they have in the non-conference. But the value is a little bit there on that side of it. Bake?
So, Texas Tech is kind of interesting because I don't know if I believe in their coach.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, when they get in the college football playoff, how they can handle that. You saw how they handled it this year. But their schedule, they're in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
Like,
if the Sorsby kid's legit, they're in it.
I think they're in it regardless.
Give it to me. Do you have it?
Yeah, so they're Abilene Christian, at Oregon State, Houston, Sam Houston State, at Colorado, Arizona State, at Cincinnati, Arizona, West Virginia, at Oklahoma State, at Baylor, TCU. They're getting in.
Yeah,
they've got enough players that they're getting in.
Yeah.
So they're going to have a shot at this. I think Oregon, their schedule, I don't believe, is too difficult either. They go to USC, but I don't believe in USC.
They got to come to Columbus.
They come to Columbus and then Michigan back to back, but that's like it for them. So I believe Oregon's getting in this thing too.
I agree. I think if you are in the Big Ten or the SEC and you're 10-2, you're in.
Correct.
So not even worried about it in the sense of like, well, are they going to get losses? So what? It's fine.
With that, Georgia's schedule isn't too difficult either for the SEC, I don't believe, because they have Oklahoma at home. They go to Arkansas, Vanderbilt at home. I don't know what they'll be without Pavia, if Clark Lee can keep that going. They are at Alabama, Auburn, Florida, at Ole Miss, which I think Ole Miss will take a step back. Missouri,
yes,
at South Carolina, Georgia Tech. So Georgia's schedule for an SEC schedule isn't too difficult next year either.
No. You know what's crazy about this? And this is probably the first time since the mid-2000s. We went through the 10 favorites. No Alabama. It's done. It's crazy. They're grilling Caleb DeBoer on golf courses about how young his roster is. Like, that is a mess. Absolute mess down there. Jackets back at it. They're on a bit of a heater right now, but it really has to continue in Chicago tonight against Bedard and the Blackhawks. We'll hit some chilly time coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
People, I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle, for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope.
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
After my accident, people warned me to slow down. I said, I don't know how. Thanks to my VA care team, I haven't.
At VA, we're using technology to help veterans recover faster and live their lives to the fullest. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov/PSA.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses, The Fan.
Hey, what's up? It's
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
call 1-800-FURNACE.
Living in Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. Today, I'm a sculptor. Now, my fingers are my eyes. I'm Michael Naranjo. As a veteran, I know the challenges of life can be great. In my art, turning a lump of clay into something beautiful, that is worth doing. Life is like that. We each must use what we can to make things better.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
Now, I show others how they can create something with their own hands. I know it can do a lot of good. With support from DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Michael Naranjo, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Columbus Worthington Air and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
The Gloves. It's Shelly time.
Indeed it is. We head to the Windy City, the first of three straight on the roads and a crucial stretch for your Columbus Blue Jackets for a little bit of Shelly time on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Hey, buddy, last night in Montreal, the Avs played the Canadiens, and the Canadiens bombed them, which is something nobody does to the Avs. But I noticed that the Avs were wearing the Nordique sweaters. So those are beautiful, obviously. But is, I mean, Quebec continues to be in the province of Quebec. Did they choose violence there, the Avs?
Yeah, right. I mean, they take that personally. That is right? The Quebec Nordiques that left to go to Denver. Ugh. It gave me kind of an ick feeling there.
You didn't like those, you know? The Nordique looks, or you just thought that was personal?
I like the jerseys, but the Nordiques are gone.
Yeah.
I don't know if you wear them in Quebec, but they did it, and maybe that's why they got spanked.
That's what I was thinking. Like, that seems like really sticking it to the folks of the province. And we've seen this before. Like, the Hurricanes will wear the Whalers sweater, which I think is that's dicey. You don't see it with Dallas. I don't think they've ever worn the North Stars uniform.
I think I saw them this year.
Gosh. Where do you sit with that?
Minnesota wore them.
Okay, well, that's fair.
Yes. Yeah, Minnesota wore the old nostalgia. But, I mean, where do I sit? I get it. I get both sides. For Quebec, they wouldn't be happy. For the league, it's throwing back to their, the heritage. Everybody loves those jerseys. To see it in Quebec, I thought that was just a little bit bold last night, but it's fine. Well, he does it for the right reasons.
Do you see a scenario where, I've never been to Quebec City, it's a hole in the resume. Is there a scenario where they ever get a team again?
I don't think so. I think the Canadian markets I know they could support it, but like you look at Winnipeg, they're not selling out this year. There's some talk that it's dipped a little bit with their sponsorship. They're small markets. When you have Houston, Atlanta, which Atlanta's talking again about getting a team down there and doing it right. Those are major markets. It'd be great to have a team in Quebec, but I don't think so. It's a small province.
I understand Quebec, how those markets are intoxicating for the league. Atlanta, Houston. I mean, we tried it in Phoenix too. I went to Thrashers games when they had Kovalchuk and Heatley. Yeah. And I've been to two or three of those when I was down in the South, and they had those two dudes were electric on those teams, and there it was routinely 8,000-9,000 people. Routinely.
Yeah. It was in the wrong place, was it not? I mean, everyone says there's an area with a huge hockey community, and the season ticket holder base was big. There's just getting to the games. But I hear now where they're putting it would be tough travel-wise. If you land in Atlanta to get to where they're promoting the new arena, it would be like an hour of travel time.
My hunch would be near the Braves, right? In like northern suburbs?
Yeah, that I think that's right. Like, is it Buckhead or something? I don't know the area. I've never been there, just to the airport and the arena. I played in that arena, but I remember playing there. It didn't feel like a hockey arena, and it was a light crowd.
Yeah, I mean, they've had it twice. I mean, a lot of times people ask me, like, why are the Calgary Flames the Calgary Flames? Well, because they were Atlanta.
Like, that's right. They've had hockey there for a long time. I mean, they really have.
People don't realize that long before Lanny McDonald and all the boys that's how long that goes back. Crucial. No problem with that tonight. Blackhawks original six, and part of a crucial three game road swing here for this Blue Jackets team. Porty had a great tweet this morning about how you just keep winning and winning and winning, but it's hard to make up ground because other people are kind of doing the same. So, another one of these that is really crucial stretch here. Fun coming off of the game last time out. What do you make of this team's mindset as they set out on this crucial three-game stretch?
I really like it. I mean, I think that, you know, we're all looking for perfect games and kind of games to overwhelm, you know, where teams overwhelm other teams. But listen, there's a little bit of a dip in the gas in the tank for every team in the league. You know, you watch hockey last night. I thought Pittsburgh actually looked really good in their game. But
for God's sake, like, is he ageless? Like, he's never going to age, Crosby?
They've got goaltending. That guy can play till he's 50.
I think you're right.
The way he plays the game is low impact. It's low impact. It's intelligent. It's get the puck and give it to the open player and then hide. And, you know, next thing he's got assist and a goal. Mm-hmm. He's unique. He's got that I'll call it grown-up intelligence too, where it's just a different level of playing a game that others aren't playing. You know, but I like their mindset. Just find a way to win here. There's just a few games left before the break. Do what you can right now and feel good going into the break. The key to this whole season is coming out. I mean, I said it the other day. Mm-hmm. It's going to be an adjustment coming out of the break. It's 3 weeks off for a lot of guys. I mean, just think about it. I mean, if you are in high school, college, and you have a 3-week break, how good is that to look forward to? I mean, you have to take care of exams and all that and do your business.
Yeah.
Or I don't care where you're working. You have 3 weeks.
Yeah.
They can't touch you. They can't ask you to do an autograph signing. They can't tell you you should skate. There's nothing. You're free. And then the guys going to the Olympics, they are excited to be healthy and a part of that. You know, something that hasn't happened for over a decade for players being, and they may never get another chance. I mean, some guys missed the boat on going to the Olympics. These guys are extremely proud and excited to go, and it's a different feel. It's representing your country. It's not a salary. You know what I mean? Like, this is to go win gold, and that's something else you would expect a little bit of a dip from, you know, from those teams that go over there, from those players. So coming out of the gate, the first 5-6 games out of that Olympic break is going to be massive for moving and shaking in this league, I think. But I like the mentality going in. I just thinking about Rick Bowness and his coaching staff. He is now, you know, pushing for more, which he has to. He's going to have to do that the whole way. But those details of how to play, and these guys want to win. These guys want to be in the playoffs. So, you know, they're in a really good place mentally.
Any changes tonight?
I don't think so. You know, we haven't skated yet. They haven't skated yet today. Mm-hmm. We're going to head over to the arena. It's still the United Center, I think, for pregame skate. But I wouldn't think of any changes unless there was some kind of injury. But it seems like maybe Jet and Net. It's a back-to-back situation. We're in St. Louis tomorrow. So you might see Jet tonight in Net. I thought Elvis was good. He got the job done. But he seemed like he was all over the place at times in that last game.
Yeah,
which I watched on TV, which was nice. Never really done that.
You don't very rarely for you, buddy.
I didn't even go to the rink. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, it was nice.
On those big TVs, hockey's pretty damn good, isn't it?
It is good. I tell you, it's fun to watch and see the replays. And
yeah.
I find it weird to sit in a rink and not have someone talking in my ears the whole time. Like, it's you know, it's quiet. Sure. You just hear the puck and the skates. It's something I haven't really experienced, but I enjoy the TV, so.
It's kind of peaceful. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you Tuesday in Jersey, hopefully coming off of two more wins.
All right. You have yourself a great weekend. Thank you,
buddy. You too, buddy. There he goes. A little bit of Shelly time on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Some interesting comments from Caleb Downs and Carnell Tate. We will get to that coming up next. Second hour, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
The two most mature people working at the radio station. And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan.
Holiday shop.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
It's been a real journey since 2014 when I first had my injury. I realized that my home was just not working for me and that it was time to ask for help. Homestar Troops is really giving me my life back. The shower allows me to go in and turn around with my chair, pull down storage racks, automated door systems, hours of my morning given back to me. Adaptive sports are a huge part of my life, a huge part of my healing journey as well. Homestar Troops helped with making sure that I had a home gym so that I can continue to train. This past year, I was able to host Thanksgiving in my home, and it was the first time I was able to have my whole family in one place, and I was able to contribute to the meal. There are a lot more veterans in need, and Homes for Our Troops is going to be there to help them too.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
What does it mean to give 100%? It means giving everything you've got every single day. That's why the V Foundation gives 100% of every dollar donated directly to cancer research. So no matter what you give, we give 100% for life-saving research victories, 100% to making new discoveries that lead to innovative treatments, 100% to groundbreaking cancer research that could one day save someone you love. We know cancer research is working. Over the last 30 years, an estimated 4.5 million lives have been saved thanks to game-changing research breakthroughs. But there is more work to do. That's why the V Foundation gives 100% of every dollar donated directly to cancer research. We will always give 100% to accelerate victory over cancer.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Donate today at V.org.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Eric Reeser. The 11th-ranked Ohio State women's basketball team improved to 19-3 last night with an 81-58 win over Wisconsin. Jelani Cambridge led with 29 points. Buckeyes are 8-2 in conference play. They'll play Nebraska Sunday afternoon at the Shot. As for Jake Diebler's squad, Ohio State heads to Madison to battle Wisconsin tomorrow at 2 p.m. We'll have that game on The Fan with coverage at 1 o'clock. In college football, Ohio State continues rolling through the offseason. Their head coach will provide an update on that offseason tonight at 6 p.m. A special edition of the Ryan Day radio show hits The Fan. In the NHL, the Blue Jackets look for their fourth straight win. CBJ are at the Chicago Blackhawks Friday night at 8:30. You can hear that one on The Fan with coverage at 8 o'clock. Columbus is at St. Louis to take on the Blues on Saturday. This update is sponsored by Eco Plumbers. Get $500 in free plumbing services when you buy a new water heater. Visit geteco.com and book today.
They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Tim May coming up in 28 minutes from now. We were talking with Jody. Bake, I'm sure you probably saw that because you keep a pretty close eye on the NHL. Did you see that last night, Nordiques versus Canadiens?
I did see that, the jersey matchup.
Stunning. It did get me thinking of, and we were kind of stumbled into that with Jody, of this thinking from the NHL that they need to go to these massive American markets, like to Atlanta for the third time. This would be the third time that you've gone to Atlanta. You can talk to me all you want about suburbs, and you can talk to me about season tickets. It's the South, man.
It's the definition of insanity.
It is. There are expats for sure down there, people from the North who moved there, and I'm sure that they're trying to get youth hockey going in the best possible way. I mean, remember, like, Phoenix had youth hockey. Austin Matthews is from Phoenix. Like, you can do it, but that doesn't mean that it's something that the city needs or demands. And the reality is, if it's not something that is, that there is a built-in lock stock fan base, diehard group there, if you don't have that, then you're starting from scratch. And it's uphill all the way. And people point to Vegas, but the thing you got to remember about Vegas is the NHL was first. The NHL was first. And the NHL delivered Vegas, because of how they changed the expansion policy, they delivered Vegas a cup contender out of the gates. Like, that ain't going to happen again.
And you got so much transient. I mean, you've got vacationers, you've got folks that aren't from Vegas that moved to the city, and they make it more of an entertainment spectacle with a hockey game attached to it. And yeah, they're always contending for cups. So if you can land that perfect situation every single time you do expansion, they'll all be successful. But you can't, you don't.
No. And so, I mean, you'd think that you would learn. I know that there's even talk that they want to try to go back to Phoenix. My God.
They're never giving up on that.
How many different owners, how many different venues? Like, Phoenix isn't building you an arena. So unless you get a guy who's willing to scratch the check for the arena and put it in somewhere in Paradise Valley, I mean, that's always the best hope that they could have for this thing. But if the first thing, and if you remember, if you're listening, when I was talking to Jody there, he talked about, you know, the arena location. If the arena location is contingent on your success as a professional operation, you've already failed. And you should not go back. I mean, that's it as far as I'm concerned. So you've got to be very, very dice. You got to be very careful with this stuff going forward. And everybody wants to line the pockets. That's why the NBA is holding off on their expansion. It's long rumored to have been Las Vegas and Seattle. But they're trying to make sure that those franchise valuations that are paid are big enough to make it worth it. Because now you're going to have to split two more ways, those television profits that are coming. So that's what those things are all about. The Nordiques were probably a perfect brand. They're probably perfect. The Minnesota North Stars were a perfect brand. I think the Minnesota North Stars moving to Dallas is really similar to the Cleveland Browns moving to Baltimore. Like, how did that happen? But there's others. There's a lot of them that are pretty hard to believe, and there's two in the NBA that are really difficult to believe. The idea that the Charlotte Hornets chose New Orleans over Charlotte is a remarkable choice in retrospect. And there's another one that's in the same region. The idea that you would take a team out of Vancouver and move it to Memphis is pretty damn crazy too. Because Vancouver is a massive city with a ton of money in it. And the idea you'd punt on that to put a team in Memphis where it's basically FedEx and that's it, that's a crazy thing in retrospect. Which brand that is now gone, I'm springing this on you guys, which brand that is now gone would you like to see back?
As a sucker for nostalgia, because the Vancouver Grizzlies was just so cool growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the Seattle Supersonics.
It's a good one.
I think is a close second there. So you got two NBA franchises. You're not going back to Vancouver for the NBA, but you've got to go back to Seattle if you're the Sonics. You've got to get the Sonics back in the association. I think is job, and I know it's probably like job 1B because Vegas is job 1A, but
yeah.
There should not be an NBA and there should not be talk or thought of expansion without first thinking of Seattle and that franchise.
The Supersonics is a really good one, and it may be the correct one in this argument. Yeah. I have always missed the Montreal Expos. I think of the players that I grew up watching that played for those teams and what they went on to do other places. Pedro Martinez, Randy Johnson, Delino DeShields, Marquise Grissom, just all of those guys. Like
Vladimir Guerrero.
Yep. I've always loved the Montreal Expos. And then the Hartford Whalers.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about a kit that just looks clean. And I believe the NFL did it right with the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens. As far as if you move, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
The history stops. It stays in that city. When the Carolina Hurricanes wear Hartford Whalers jerseys, it drives me insane.
How about the Tennessee Titans wearing Oilers uniforms?
That's where I was going next. That's gross. The Oilers belong in Houston. And here's my thing with that. If you loved it so much and you loved the brand, why'd you take it away?
Why'd you change it? I mean, that is crazy when you think about the idea that they moved a team out of Houston with the money in that town, and they moved it out of Houston to Nashville. When they moved it, remember, they didn't even have a stadium. They played in Memphis the first couple of years. They played in Memphis at the Liberty Bowl, for God's sakes. An NFL team in my lifetime moved from Houston and played the first 2 years in Memphis. Now, it's relatively worked out because... Mm-hmm. You know, Nashville's been a boom town over the last 15 years, so it's worked out, I guess. But that was one of those ones, and that's the Adams family, where they weren't liquid, and they couldn't build a stadium. So they had to go. Same thing with Art Rooney. Like, I can't afford it. Same thing with the Spanos family. Can't afford it. So I got to have somebody else build my stadium for me, and no one was going to do it. The Rooney thing's a little bit more complicated. Or not Rooney, Modell. It's a little bit more complicated, but yeah, the Browns were the ones that forced the NFL, because of the history of the Cleveland Browns, forced it to where that history stayed. And then the Supersonics had the same rule. So Oklahoma City can't wear Sonics uniforms. Oklahoma City does not have access to Sean Kemp or Gary Payton or any of those cats.
Nor should they.
And that's probably, just from a big picture economic standpoint, the idea that the NBA isn't in Seattle is lunacy. Like, go Google the corporate powerhouses that are in that town. And it doesn't get talked about as much, but the idea that Howard Schultz, who was running Starbucks, owned the Sonics and sold them to guys who you knew were moving them to Oklahoma City, it might be as cruel as Modell taking the Browns out of Baltimore. It might even be more so, though, because Schultz was liquid. He wasn't, like, Art Modell was out of cash. There was no scenario where he was going to be able to ever, I mean, he couldn't even fund his roster. Like, that part, all of that's true. The Andre Rison stories are true in terms of he could not pay Andre Rison's bonus. That stuff's all true. It's all well documented. That wasn't the case with the Sonics. And by the way, they had just renovated their arena. I saw the Sonics as a kid. I had family out there. I saw the Sonics as a kid play at Key Arena. They also played at the Tacoma Dome for 2 years while they renovated Key Arena. So they had just done that. They did that in the mid to late 90s. And that's the same space that they use now for the hockey team. That's the exact same space that they use for the Kraken. It's the same arena. So it's all sitting there waiting for them.
When the Seattle Supersonics come back, and they have Sean Kemp Kid Night, it is going to be lit and full in that arena. It is going to be awesome.
Yes, it is. And by the way, the idea that Sonics operation, just think about what that brand would be. Because when they moved, Durant played 1 year there. He played 1 year there. They were just drafting Russell Westbrook, but Kevin Durant played his rookie year in Seattle. And that was a great fan base anyway. Can you imagine if they got that and then now what OKC is? Like this 20-year run of Oklahoma City, if that was all the Seattle Supersonics. And I'm not suggesting Oklahoma City doesn't deserve it. You've been there, Reese. Obviously, it's got money and they support it like crazy. And it's a one-horse town and seems like a lovely place. But it's not Seattle in terms of a brand or a financial impact.
Yeah, no league's going. No other league is going to Oklahoma City or Flat Dayton, as we've referred to on this show.
Is that what you would say it is? Flat Dayton?
It's Flat Dayton, yeah. And there's a lot of companies that do logistics and transportation are there because of where it is nationally. Mm-hmm. My brother works for Boeing, and so obviously out there you're able to do a lot more than you could do in the other parts of the country. And yeah, I get why the NBA would have interest there because there was interest, but no other league's looking at OKC and say, we got to be there.
No. Those will be one-offs, and I'll be curious to see if the Pelicans and the Grizzlies can survive in those two markets here over the next decade or so. Carnell Tate, Caleb Downs had some comments on another shot at the Indiana Hoosiers. You'll hear their comments coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one, yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
For home appraisal, after we put away our African art and family photos.
Has this happened to you because of race or national origin? Contact HUD
at hud.gov/fairhousing. A message from HUD and the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Hey, folks.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
For Super Bowl 60. And since we're the official radio home of the Super Bowl, we can say Super Bowl and not big game. So we're going to say Super Bowl a lot. Seahawks and Patriots in the Super Bowl. Sunday, February 8th, here on The Fan.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton. I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Hello.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine here for your Friday as temperatures only warm up into the teens here for this afternoon. Winds will be out of the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And as we head into the weekend, we are still tracking the very cold temperatures with highs only in the teens to near 20 here for Saturday and Sunday. However, we are looking ahead to a nice little warm up here as we get into next week. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Never have I been so excited to get a whiff of sweaty jock straps.
It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Yay, Football, The Fan. We'll read your emails on the air.
But we won't tell you where to send them.
Hey, we're not doing all the work for you. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and we are proudly sponsored and brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for nearly 80 years. Some couple more on the franchise moving thing. Stanglepost brought this up, and was it Jake Trotter that taught us the whole reason OKC got a basketball team was because Columbus got the Blue Jackets? I can't remember the exact. I remember him saying that, but I don't remember the exact chronology of that.
I think it was part of it.
Yeah, it was. I think they were in the running to get the expansion hockey team.
OKC
and
was.
They didn't, so they ended up getting the Supersonics. If I remember all that correctly.
So we didn't have an arena built yet. Oklahoma City, I wonder if they, cause they, the part of the reason that they got them is because they were the safe haven for New Orleans after Katrina. And they had all this passion and they supported the New Orleans Hornets like they were their own for like 2 years until now the Pelicans were able to get back to New Orleans and get their setup. So that's mid 2000s when that happens. Katrina, I want to say is like 05. 06, somewhere in there. So they had them at that point, and that probably pushed them over the edge. But there was also, and Kansas City did this, Kansas City built the Sprint Center for, in part, the thinking that they were going to get the Pittsburgh Penguins. Like, go read that story about Mario Lemieux coming back playing after retiring, playing for Pittsburgh, and to the surprise of no one, being great again. But that saved the Pittsburgh Penguins. Was him coming back.
They were on their way to Kansas City.
That's what I just said.
Yeah,
because they had built the Sprint Center, and it was ready to go.
And then didn't he save them again when he became the owner of the team?
Well, he played when he was an owner, didn't he?
That might be right.
I mean, I think he played for them as he was a partial owner. Like, well, and then you go Fleury, Crosby, Malkin, yeah. And it's off. You're off at this point. You don't have to worry about anything. New stadium, everything.
There was a lot of, I don't know how much there was to it, but there was a lot of smoke there for a while about the Blue Jackets being on the move to Kansas City at one point.
Like when? I don't remember that at all.
I want to say it was probably right before they went to the playoffs or maybe a little after that first time in 2009.
Yeah, I remember the stadium issue vaguely about how the city and the all of that.
I don't know if there was any validity to it at all, but there were rumors out there.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you think about our town and you think about, when I think about, there was some momentum, there was a previous mayor, I forget his name, who was always trying to get into the NBA mix. And obviously, as the city has continued to grow, it's kind of low-hanging fruit for us. Like, you could always bring it up and say, could you support it? Could you do it? I think Ohio State probably, if anything ever got close on the basketball side of things, would say over our dead body. I think that they would still probably have the juice to be able to do that, because what inevitably all of this is, and it's just like the competition that all of these things have for attention on every show on this station. It's all competition for entertainment. It's all for our attention. And really, Ohio State basketball and Ohio State wrestling and Ohio State women's basketball, they're all competing with the Blue Jackets. They're all going to be competing with the Aviators. They're going to be competing with the Crew. The only thing that really doesn't have to compete with anything is Ohio State football, because no one would dare to do it. But everything else is competed against. And they're all reaching for your entertainment dollar. And there's never, the onus on giving people something to watch has never been greater. And I think one thing, we talk about this all the time with the Blue Jackets, the winning hasn't been there the way that you'd want it to be. But I think they are so great at the experience, and live hockey is so fun in person. It's the one sport to me that's still the biggest difference between person or television. And so I think those two things, even though the winning hasn't been there, that's why you still have such incredible support, and why you still are a very good hockey town and very viable market, because everything they do at the arena is so top notch.
And I think coming to Columbus when it did in the NHL, I think you were able to kind of latch on to growing hockey enthusiasm amongst people in Columbus, yeah, and families and kids. And as you've seen the Jackets grow older as an NHL franchise, you've seen high school hockey, you've seen youth hockey boom all over the state. And so that's kind of gone hand in hand since the year 2000. And I wonder just in how many markets where an expansion franchise has walked hand in hand with kind of the popularity of its sport in the youth circle. Not many.
What J.D. Kershaw, among others, did at the youth level here over the last 25 years, it's just stupefying. This isn't right, so don't hold me to it, but I want to say there was something like one sheet of ice in Central Ohio when the Blue Jackets came, like for youth. Like one.
Was the chiller?
Yeah. And now we got kids who are developed here, the Sherwoods, among others, developed here, grew up here, and are in the league. And you see, and your point on the high school hockey is a fantastic example, Reese, because Central Ohio didn't win state hockey championships 20 years ago. It was all a Northeast Ohio thing. It was a Toledo thing. Like, it was those schools that did it. Now, Liberty just won it. I don't know who won it this year. I'm not sure who won it. But, like, those teams and those programs are ready to go. And that's been what's happened here. And so now all you need is the winning. And then you got – then you're off when you get consistent winning. The Buckeyes win pretty consistently. It's pretty crazy when they don't. That's how ridiculous all of this is for them in terms of their standards. Caleb Downs on his podcast, Downs Down to Business, the one he does with his brother. They had Carnell Tate on, and they lamented if they would have liked another shot at Indiana.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Maybe.
Why you put your hand up like that?
No, I'm just saying maybe.
Yes.
No, maybe. That's what I'm saying. Who knows, though?
So what they're talking about is if you were to get another shot at Indiana, would you win? And that was their answer to that. Where, I wonder, will we look back on the Indiana loss as a what if? It'll mostly be the Miami loss that you're going to sting on, I think, the most is going to be the Miami one. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think the two losses to Indiana or Miami this year are even in the vicinity of the top 10 of games we should have won over the last 25 years.
And they're not even near with a Georgia loss.
Oh my gosh. Michigan State in 13. Yeah. Michigan in, I mean, there's so many that are, I mean, we say so many, they don't lose very often, but in the times they lost when it was like, my God, if you just won that, you'd win this. There are so many more of those over the last 30, 40 years than those. I'm guessing Ryan Day can too. I hope he can. I hope there's just kind of a realization that this wasn't the year that you were the best. I think this team always had the highest ceiling, but it just never reached that level that Indiana consistently got to. To me, it's not like the Georgia loss. It's not like the Michigan State loss in 13 or the Michigan State loss in 15. It doesn't have that kind of feeling for me. Where do you guys kind of sit with that?
I mean, I think 15 certainly in my lifetime, 98. Certainly in my lifetime are the seasons that you're like, they should have won that. Mm-hmm. They should have won the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
Even in 2022, that kick is good.
I mean, you're rolling all over in the national championship game. So I think for this season, you weren't the best team. You're one of. You certainly had, you know, an offense that was littered with stars. You had a defense that was the best in the country. The defense was the best it's been in 20 years in college football. Mm-hmm. And so you do feel that it's a wasted opportunity, but so many other teams feel the same way. I mean, Notre Dame probably feels the same way last year, similarly with Texas. And other teams this year feel like they had wasted opportunities. But I think that's kind of the one benefit of having this college football playoff is you just run into games and you run into teams that have better nights.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure. I don't think it's too hot to say Ohio State's a better team than Miami, but on that night, they weren't.
Yeah, I think the best team won it this year.
I think so, too.
That's hard for me to wrap my head around, but I think that happened.
I think the best team won it this year. I don't think the most talented team won it. And I know those are two different distinctions. Yeah. Because I do think Ohio State was the most talented team this year. The two that always come to my mind before any are 98 and 96 with Ohio State. That Michigan State loss in 98. Like, nobody can tell me. Nobody can ever convince me that 98 Ohio State team wasn't the best team in the country. And what if Sean Springs doesn't slip against Ty Streets in that Michigan game in 96? I mean, I think that was that Florida?
Florida was a
Florida they were was away pretty again. Good.
Yeah, 98's the one because that's T. Martin winning it at Tennessee, and they beat a Florida State team that played their third quarterback.
Which that was that game. The first year. Was that the first that year the of first, the BCS?
It was, yeah. It was the first year of the BCS. So you wouldn't have played in the Rose Bowl. You would have played Tennessee in the Fiesta Bowl for the national title.
So 98 is the one that always sticks out to me. I also think this year, I don't think it's going to stick with us as much because you won the national championship last year.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree with that. We'll get Tim May's take on that and other things coming up next. Bishop and Ferentz right here.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fred Fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like.
But only if you subscribe.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time to head out on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Conversation with my good buddy Tim May. The Tim May Show with Clay Hall on FanStreamSports.com. What are you doing to stay warm?
I'm actually driving in my car right now, which is basically the easiest way of doing it because you got sun coming in the window, you got the heater blasting, you got a little indicator just then told me roads may be icy. You know what I mean? But I'm going to do my podcast here in a minute. That's the reason you caught me in transit, brother. You caught me in transit.
Is this the coldest that you can recall since you've lived here this stretch?
No, when I first moved up here, this is how naive I was. I moved up here as a 22-year-old. I was still saying theater instead of theater, you know what I mean? Things like that when I moved up here from Texas. And that first winter, I swear, I think it was the whole month of January, I think there was a week or week-long stretch here where it didn't get above zero or something. I mean, it was like super cold. And I just thought, well, that's the way it is. You know, you're living up north now, kid. And and then the next winter was, of course, the winter of the blizzard, 78. Oh. And I just said, well, this is the way it is when you live up north. You know, it's like one of those survival shows you watch that I watch a lot on YouTube. You know, this is just kind of hunker down, make myself a little igloo and keep warm. But dude, I didn't even wear a hat back then. I would walk across campus, across the Oval at Ohio State with no hat on and the wind blowing. And I'm just thinking my head was about to pop, or I couldn't figure out if it was going to explode or implode, but it was just horrible. And I thought that was life as I had chosen it.
You had to have a nice mop of hair though at those days.
I did have a lot of hair. Number one, it was like one of my girlfriends called it a hair helmet, which is true. And then I had this sort of a Marlboro Man faux sheepskin kind of coat that I wore.
Oh,
that
God.
You know, and I was the thing is, I wasn't even close to being warm. I mean, it was horrible, but I survived, baby. Only the strong survive. And those who survive will be champions.
Well, that's what they say up there, I think, sort of. Let me ask you this. We were having this conversation about, we played a little bit of audio from Caleb and, Carnell about, you know, wanting one more shot at Indiana. And we were talking a little bit about this notion of, and of course they do. I don't know how you look at it. I do think the best team won. I mean, I think Indiana proved that time and time again. The best team won the national championship. I don't feel like this was a cheated Ohio State season the way that I maybe felt about 2022 or 15, or you were obviously here in 98. Now that you've had a month to kind of think about all of it, how do you kind of put this last Buckeye season into perspective?
That it was a really, really, really good team that at the crunch moments was not good enough. And I'm talking about in the fourth quarter of both of their losses. I mean, really, I mean, how else would you describe it? I mean, they needed a drive against Indiana. And yeah, they got down there and they missed a field goal. You missed the field goal. That guy's part of your team. But point is, you couldn't get it in on, you know, you couldn't get the play you needed on third and one or whatever it was. And, same way with Miami. That game was right there to be taken, but they weren't good enough to take it. Miami was. Miami's modus operandi was the same through its first three games. They made a drive in the fourth quarter that won the game for them, you know, against A&M and, you know, Ohio State and who'd they play? Ole Miss. They made a drive and Ohio State couldn't muster that drive. And in the final analysis, Ohio State in the final analysis, my opinion, was not good enough on the offensive line when it really came push to shove. And I know Ryan Day wants to get that, is addressing that. You know, Arthur Smith is really good in the run game. At least in my opinion, he has been. And, you know, he's an omnibus kind of like offensive coordinator instead of just expertise in the passing game. And, you know, I've got a buddy of mine I'm debating that with right now. He kind of doesn't like to hire what he's done. I go, well, dude, I mean, he's been a head coach in the National Football League. Somebody thinks he's pretty good. And when he and Vrabel were together, that was a pretty good combo down at Tennessee, right? So, but my point is, final analysis. I thought they were good enough on defense and weren't good enough on the offensive line, which was the question mark, really. One of the two question marks going into the season was how good would they be on the offensive line based on how good they were at the end of the year, the previous year, and then a defense. On defense, they were damn good. On offense, they weren't good enough.
It's so funny that we've reached the point with Ohio State.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. I just think it's funny. You brought up the Arthur Smith thing. I was going to ask about that anyway, but I just think it's so – I can't help but laugh when I hear people be like, oh, I don't know if this was as good a good hire. I'm like, my God, guys, like we're hiring former NFL coaches to coordinate offense at Ohio State, and he's going to run Ryan's offense. There's going to be some tweaks, but it's not like Ryan's going to – you're throwing the offense out. These are all going to be short-term hires. It's 1 or 2 year windows, and that's the way it's going to go. That's clearly his preference. Like the notion that somehow that isn't satisfactory, like a guy who coordinated the Steelers, the Titans, and was the head coach of the Falcons is somehow not competent enough to coordinate a college offense is lunacy.
Bo, you get it. Bo, you totally get it, man. I mean, that's exactly right. And what I like about what Ryan has done with his last several hires, you know, I call it bringing a guy in with some, I call it with Matt Patricia, bringing in a guy to sprinkle in some things that really made a huge difference last year. Now, in the final analysis, they didn't get that stop they needed against Indiana, and they didn't get that stop they needed against Miami, right? So there's room for improvement there, that's for sure. But the bottom line is you bring these guys and it enhances your perspective, meaning of the way you look at things. And that's what I like about this one is, and this guy has some chops. There's no doubt this guy has some chops. I mean, you know, he hired Bill O'Brien, remember this time a year ago, and then Bill O'Brien suddenly, or 2 years ago, and then suddenly headed to Boston College and brings in Chip Kelly. That was a hell of a hire. Mm-hmm. And both of those were, in my opinion. So it shows that Ryan, you say there's money involved, but there's still more money in the National Football League than there is in college football for assistants, et cetera, if they want to make it that way, right? But yes. I like this hire a lot.
Yeah, it tells me, and I think it's, I don't think it's a coincidence the last two times that, that Ryan made an out of program offensive coordinator hire. Both times he hired coaches who are known primarily for their aptitude in the run game. And
right.
It's with both with physicality. So
right.
That's not a coincidence to me.
No, because what was missing last year, what was missing last year was that third and one, you feel confident to line up and shove somebody out of the way. And, my buddy Jeff Snook, he's the guy I'm always talking about who's always complaining, by the way. I don't think everybody
What's
knows
he got to complain
now.
About? Look at that handsome devil. He's down there in South Florida. He's got all the, he's living this best life, and he's always got a suntan. Like, what's he complaining about?
He's not complaining about the weather, that's for sure. But, but the bottom line is he's made some good points about the fact that, they need to have some type of identifiable, when they line up in this, boy, you're about to get a Mickey Mantle, 34 inch bat swung at you. You know what I mean? And they didn't have that last year. They had the year before, obviously. He goes, yeah, they had Quinshon Judkins. I said, yeah, they had Quinshon Judkins. They went out and got him. This past year you had two freshman running backs and maybe a transfer in CJ Donaldson who was good, but wasn't that, he wasn't Quinshon. Let's put it that way, right? And that's not knocking him. He knows it. But they need to get back and where they line up, whether it's in robust, whether it's in two backs with, two tight and maybe Jeremiah Smith stuck out there wide left. I mean, stop. By the way, you better cover that guy and now stop this, mm-hmm. And hey, that touchdown against Miami where they ran a little slant with Jeremiah. Well, that was a choice, man. I mean, that was a nice play in the red zone. So they can get there.
Do you think they're out of the woods yet with, Patricia? You think he's in terms of for sure coming back? I know there's been a lot of flirtation from the NFL towards Matt. I don't know if it's reciprocated or not, but that's still kind of out there.
I think he's intrigued about coming back. Let me put it that way. The last time I spoke with him, but that doesn't mean someone's not going to come out and throw a haymaker. I mean, this time last year, he was still looking for an NFL job, right? Mm-hmm. And, matter of fact, I told you, I remember watching, on the NFL network on that, the little line and where they have different radio people interviewing you and all that kind of stuff. The radio hall or whatever. But
Radio Row.
Radio Row. I danced all the way around that word. But he was talking about how he was looking for a job, had been out for a while. And then all of a sudden, boom, Ryan Day hires him. I go, damn, Ryan Day knows what he – and the thing about it is, I think what chapped a lot of people who, quote, cover the team, end quote, and that's okay, is that Ryan didn't hire the guys that they were putting out there as the possible guys for the offensive coordinator job, mm-hmm. And, but they were in the right ballpark for the most part. Like you said, Ryan's looking for somebody to come in and sprinkle, put some new sprinkles on the ice cream, not bring in new ice cream. And but I would think, every effort's being made to keep Matt Patricia, but you still got to stay within some parameters of reality when it comes to the money aspect. I think Matt Patricia is very intrigued and had a great time, not a good time, a great time doing what he's doing for the past year. I would not be surprised to see him stick with that. And main thing is he gets to live in the same town for a second straight year, as he said to me right after the game in Dallas. That's intriguing.
Yeah, it certainly is.
By the way, did I read deadline? I've been kind of going and coming. Did Bill Belichick, was he really not a first ballot Hall of Famer?
You did read that right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying. I just go.
Yeah, it's a process. Look, I mean, I talked about a lot when that happened earlier in the week. Like, there are gatekeepers of these sports that run these Hall of Fames. And the reasoning behind it was, well, this is maybe Kenny Anderson's last time on a ballot or LC Greenwood's last time on the ballot, and I don't want them to not get in. And I think my feeling on it kind of is, if you're a Hall of Famer when you're eligible, then you're a Hall of Famer. Like, nothing's changed with LC Greenwood in 40 years. Like, if he wasn't a Hall of Famer then, who cares now?
Right.
And it's not to go with him. It's not personal. Yeah. He was, come on.
I covered that Bengals Super Bowl run to the Super Bowl back in 81, and Ken Anderson was about as good as it got back then. You know what I mean? And, and then right on down the line, LC Greenwood was as much a part of that Steeler defense, Steel Curtain, as anybody.
But this guy won six Super Bowls, is the third winningest, with third winnings, I think third winnings overall, coach.
He is third,
you know, when you count in playoff wins. But he won six Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
He won eight. Not one. Huh?
He won eight. Yeah.
So
he won two as the coordinator of the Giants.
Oh, yeah, exactly. There you go. He was part of eight Super Bowl victories. And he was, you know, I mean, wow. I mean, that was like Nick Saban and Urban Meyer being on the same ballot for the College Football Hall of Fame. Well, they both got in. You know why?
Yeah.
Because they're two of the best that ever did.
That's right.
So
that's exactly right.
When you talk about the GOAT, I mean, the guy's the GOAT. I mean, Don Shula won more games, but he was around a lot longer, you know. But
I do.
I don't know. I'm totally gobsmocked. I thought Chuck Noll and if there were any first ballot Hall of Fame coaches other than the guys who got in the first year, it would have been Chuck Noll and Bill Belichick and everybody else. You know, make your case. But
agreed.
Anyway, what do I
all
know?
Right.
Get safely
to the podcast studio, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
I will, man. I get carried. I get kind of amped up because I'm gonna have.
We got you all ready. This is your warm up.
You're a sweetheart, and I mean that professionally. Thank you, man.
Thing or not a thing up next. There you go. There's a rejoin for you. You're a sweetheart, and I mean that in a professional sense from Tim May. We'll do thing or not a thing up next, Bishop and Friends, right here.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is a Daily Show with Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. We talk so much about Bruce Thornton and so much about his scoring, but when you look at what he did in the Penn State game, is that a great example, Jake, of how he can have so many influences, so many different areas on a game?
He can. His ability to rebound has been really impressive this year. He had five assists, no turnovers. You know, again, just thought he managed a great game. Certainly some points where he could have been a little more aggressive, but, you know, he played a complete game, and then defensively, you know, he's a connector for us. He's oftentimes tasked with guarding the best perimeter player on the other team. So he just, you know, all around has a high level impact on the game outside of scoring.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Now, the officials have been talking for quite some time.
Alrighty, let's see what they have to say.
Upon further review, there is no penalty on the play. However, we have conferred and discovered that Bob, the line judge, has saved a boatload for his kids' college using Ohio's 529 plan. It is tax-free, accepted nationwide. Bob recommends we all go to collegeadvantage.com. First down!
Well, that's not entirely unexpected.
Classic Bob.
The subject of John Mobley and the way he scored the ball, Jake, certainly has been impressive. But the fact that in the Penn State game he draws five fouls from the opponent, is that just another added element to his toolbox?
Yeah, you know, we want to get to the free throw line. It's an important part of our offense. I think the poise that he's playing with, the patience he's playing with when he has the ball in his hands has been really impressive. And, you know, that I thought the Penn State game was another indication of just how far he's improved and how his hard work keeps paying off.
Him getting to the free throw line a plus?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, him, Devin getting to the free throw line was important for us that game. It was good to see because he didn't get there the game before. So, yeah, we want to get to the line, and I think when he's getting to the line, it certainly is an indication he's playing with great poise.
Okay, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Around here, it's all-wheel drive all year round. And Toyota has more all-wheel drive choices than anyone. Now through February 2nd, get 2.99 APR financing on remaining new 25 Tacomas. Excludes TRD Pro and Trailhunter. Or lease a well-equipped 25 Tacoma SR5 for $279 a month for 36 months with $39.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
You still thinking job?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Are you driving high right now? You might be, because a whole lot of people do. They say marijuana makes them a better driver, more careful, more focused. That's probably what the guy who killed a 4-year-old thought. And now, he's in prison. You see, no matter what you tell yourself, if you feel different, you drive different. So if you're high, just don't drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Connect with the show on X at 971BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Friday edition. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Earlier this week, Kevin O'Connor of Yahoo Sports says the Golden State Warriors are willing to add Jimmy Butler and Jonathan Kuminga to any, or maybe all, of their available future first-round picks to get Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Milwaukee Bucks. O'Connor said he considers Golden State to be the front-runner right now to get the Greek freak as of next week's NBA trade deadline. Butler's out for the season with a torn ACL. But Jonathan Kuminga is making $22.5 million this season. He's got a club option for next season. Golden State owns all of their future first-round picks through 2029 and has a top 20 protected pick in 2030. They hold their own first-round picks in 2031 and in 2032 as well. Thing or not a thing?
So I don't follow that league close enough to know. From 30,000 feet, it would seem to me that adding Giannis... To me, it feels a little bit maybe, hey, we got Steph for a couple more. Like, let's take a big swing at this thing and go for it a little bit there. I have no idea how good Kuminga is or if it's somebody that, you know, you can build around a 23-year-old. That would seem to be something that would be appealing for Milwaukee. That's a really tough spot to be in that scenario. I mean, Milwaukee won a title, so that validates all of it. They've tried. I mean, they tried getting Damian Lillard to play there, and then he got hurt, and that mesh didn't exactly happen the way that everybody thought it was going to. And so they've definitely tried, but the reality is you got the one title, and that's pretty dang good. So they probably do need to rebuild, and he's their best asset to do so. I'd be curious to know, like, what Bucks fans think of all this. Like, do they want him staying or, like, in playing his entire career there, or are they trying to get a reset on this thing?
This is a thing to me because it seems like for a long time the relationship with Giannis and Milwaukee was heading for a break. In the NBA, almost any trade in sports, if you get the best player, you win the trade, and that helps you, but especially in basketball and that league. And there's no doubt that Giannis is the best player, and you pair Giannis with Steph and a couple of the other pieces they have there in Golden State, maybe you have something. Maybe you can make another run to a championship with those guys here in the twilight of Steph's career. So, Yeah, I think this is a huge thing, and it could probably help both teams. Like, maybe Golden State can go out as Steph rides off into the sunset and win another one, maybe two. And maybe this, with all those draft picks, could help kickstart a rebuild in Milwaukee.
I just can't imagine that even putting Giannis on Golden State puts them with Oklahoma City or Denver. I just don't feel like they're on that level, even with this, because it's just the depth.
Maybe not.
They just don't have the depth of those teams.
Puts them a lot closer, though.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
NBA's trading deadline is February 5th. So if I'm not mistaken, that would be next Thursday. You mentioned briefly earlier in the program that Bill Belichick will not be in the NFL's Hall of Fame class of 2026 in his first year of eligibility. On Wednesday, the Hall released a statement following the news that Bill Belichick was not voted in on his first year. Quote, each year, the Hall reviews the selection process and the composition of the 50-person selection committee. If it is determined that any of the members violated the selection process bylaws, they understand that action will be taken. That could include the possibility that such selectors would not remain a member of the committee moving forward. The selection of a new class is the most important duty the Hall of Fame oversees each year, and the integrity of that process cannot be in question. End quote. Thing or not a thing.
Well, it's a big thing, but it might not be what you think. This is about the leaks. This isn't about Belichick not getting in. This is about the fact that it got out that he's not getting in. Because it's a lot like the Heisman. The Heisman announces the Heisman. They don't want you telling people who you voted for. And this is that times about a billion, because they want those reveals and they want all of that. So the leaks, this is about leaking, is what this is.
And to me, I don't know how it works. Do the voters know who everybody else voted for? Like, do they let the voters know before they let it out?
So it used to all be done in person, Bake. Now it's all done, I think, via Zoom. But they certainly have. The Hall of Fame electors know who made it and who didn't.
The electors, so the people that vote do know.
Yes, there's 50 some people.
I was going to say,
those 50 people know.
I don't know if they would know, so they obviously do. So it could be any of them, or it could be somebody at the Hall of Fame. You know, who knows how these leaks got out? I wouldn't think it's somebody.
No, I think it's one of those 50 guys that did it.
And that's what I thought when I saw this, too, because whether we agree with the way somebody voted or not, I don't know how you tell someone they voted the right or wrong way. You know, like, well, is he a Hall of Famer? Yeah, but I think maybe his career was a little tainted by this. Like, that's somebody's personal view. Like, I don't know how you can tell them there's a right or wrong way to vote. This is all about the information getting out.
Yes, 100%. That's what it's about.
Yeah, to your point, there was a reporter for the Kansas City Star that said he didn't vote Bill Belichick, but he had reasons for the guys that he voted for, and he thought that their eligibility, because it's running up, would be more important to get them in now, while he thought Bill Belichick will obviously get in. It's just a matter of when.
Right.
By the way, the fact that this could be affecting Mike Shanahan getting in the Hall of Fame is bogus, too. It's ridiculous.
It is. Yeah. But you had a great point earlier this week, Bake, about if you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer. Why put a limit on how many?
Yes.
Like, if there's 10 guys who are first ballot, then have 10 first ballot Hall of Famers.
And if there's one year where nobody's... Who cares?
Baseball gets that part right, because there's been years when baseball have like one induction. That part they get right. Final hour of the week coming up next. We kick it off with what we learned. We learned we had a new offensive coordinator. We knew that we also learned that Bill Belichick will have to sit it out, among other things. We'll get to all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
During this 10-second promo, Rothman will lose money gambling on something.
People like you come here and blow the family nest egg that built this town.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Men, it's the new year.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Anthony.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Four games remain for the Columbus Blue Jackets before the Olympic break. CBJ take their three-game winning streak on a three-game road trip that starts tonight in Chicago. Friday's face-off against the Blackhawks is 8:30. You can hear it on The Fan with coverage at 8. Jackets are in St. Louis Saturday to battle the Blues. In college basketball, the 11th-ranked Ohio State women's squad beat Wisconsin last night at the Shot. OSU improves to 19-3 overall and will host Nebraska on Sunday. The Ohio State men's basketball squad is heading to Madison to battle Wisconsin tomorrow at 2 o'clock. You can hear that one on The Fan with coverage at 1. Christoph Tilly and Gabe Cups are questionable for tomorrow. OSU forward Puff Johnson will be available for the Buckeyes. His restraining order on an NCAA ruling has been extended until February 11th. And in college football, we'll have an off-season update from Ohio State's head coach tonight at 6 o'clock as a special Ryan Day radio show hits The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who? Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour on a Friday edition of the program. Doug LeMaurice coming up in 28 minutes from now. We're going to let Bake have some fun at Emmanuel Acho coming up in about 15 minutes from now. Between then and now, let's figure out what we learned this week.
We're not trying to do too much around here, but over the course of 5 days, you might have gleaned some stuff. Bishop and Friends present What We've Learned This Week.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Make a reservation today at highbankco.com. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
I'll tell you what I learned this week, and this was, I don't know how I missed it, or just naive, I'm not sure, or just missed it somehow, wasn't paying attention. The idea that you can have coordinators who don't recruit, and they don't have to. That this is where this sport is kind of headed now. You got 10 guys who can recruit. If you choose for your coordinators not to and go on the road, they don't have to. And it's part of a kind of a evolution in the sport of college football that happened in warp speed. I mean, this went like that from get on the road, recruit, build relationships, show your face. It's almost like if little Timmy, the linebacker in DeSoto High School in Texas, like if you don't see him more than the Texas defensive backs coach, then you have no chance at getting him. And that's, I think we're seeing is that's kind of a waste of time to a certain extent, that FaceTime. Yeah, you have to build relationships. It's still critical. But do you have to fly coaches all over the country like maniacs anymore? No, probably not. And I think we learned that. I learned that certainly this week, that there is a shift that has happened in how you accumulate talent in college football that happened almost overnight, especially here. And I think you will see that reflected in the recruiting classes going forward. It's something you're all going to have to get a little bit used to on that side of things, is a different way to build rosters. And then because of that, you are available and open to hiring somebody like Arthur Smith, who has been a high-level coordinator, certainly in Tennessee, was the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, and was the coordinator in Pittsburgh last year. It's a guy who's gotten a lot of NFL opportunity through the year, and he's going to bring what I think is going to be toughness. I don't think it's a coincidence that the last few times Ryan Day hired an NFL coach to coordinate his offense, in both instances, those two coaches were known primarily for their aptitude in the run game. And that was something that was lacking this year in short yardage, ground game, explosives, an ability to run when everybody knows you're going to run it. You got to be able to do those things. And I think that's what the Arthur Smith hire was all about. And I think because of the shift in philosophy, these type of jobs are now more appealing than ever for NFL, former NFL coaches.
Yeah, I also think the further we get into the NFL's coaching cycle, where they start hiring and filling out their staffs, there are only two NFL jobs that are open. I think it's the Cardinals and the Raiders. Mm-hmm. The better chance you have of retaining Matt Patricia, and I think having those two with such NFL bona fides really makes it an appealing place for Ohio State to get talent from everywhere, from the high school ranks, from the transfer portal, guys that can work, you can work with, that'll produce at the next level. I also learned that it doesn't matter. I don't know if it didn't matter who Ryan Day would have hired. Nobody would have liked the hire. They didn't like Matt Patricia last year, understandably so, and they didn't like the Arthur's. there's a segment of the fan base, I should say, that just isn't going to like the hire, whomever it's going to be. But I think we had this a couple weeks ago, that it was going to be for an offensive coordinator spot at Ohio State, a guy who's just going to call ball, who's going to run an offense that him and Ryan Day coordinate. And I think it might have been Tim May that said two tight ends this upcoming season. Or maybe he was just talking about this last season. I mean, just one tight end maybe this year. Just less tight end.
You do know who they just hired as offensive coordinator, right?
You're a lot of 2 and 3 tight ends, baby. A lot of 12 and 13 coming your way.
Not everybody's going to like who they hire. Less tight ends. Come on.
And no, it's, this is, he loved, I mean, you, it'd be 3 tight and 4 out wide. Some.
It's not tight. Yardage.
As long as it works, who cares?
Yeah, I guess.
It's all like a perfect storm for this to happen, right, Bo? With an offensive coordinator not going out on the recruiting trail. I think it's, we've seen in years as coaching staffs have grown that guys are kind of closer to their position coach anyway than they are a coordinator. You also have the high school recruiting not mattering quite as much as maybe the transfer portal. And those are the guys you're going to get. Also, these are 1 year, maybe 2 year marriages now, because chances of the coordinator leaving are pretty daggone high, especially here at Ohio State. And chances of players leaving is pretty high, too. So these relationships are so short term. Nobody's getting in bed together for the long term anymore. It's 1 year or two, and that's all we can focus on right now. We'll worry about the next year. So as long as you've got guys that you trust out there on the recruiting trail that are going to take care of their positions, then you can just bring them in, and Ryan Day and Arthur Smith and Matt Patricia can be the closers.
Yeah. Yeah. That's that whole process has to be reevaluated. Other big story of the week, obviously, around here was the Cleveland Browns getting their coaching search done. Todd Monken will be the new head coach up in Cleveland. He is in Berea today, seeing some of the video going around this morning of him arriving, an interaction with Shedeur Sanders where he talks about, you know, I wanted to draft you in Baltimore. I know Todd, know him pretty well. Or I mean, not like I've talked to him since 2019, but for a year I saw him a lot. And I certainly understand why there was shock of the hire. I get that part of it, but I also think that from an offensive acumen standpoint, he's about as good as it gets. Go look at what he did in Baltimore when Lamar wasn't hurt. Look at what he did at Georgia. From an accountability standpoint, he is an A++++. They're going to have accountability in spades. You're going to have very direct dialogue between coaches and players. You're always going to know where you stand with Todd Monken. And I can certainly understand how that attribute played a massive role in the hire. Now, will it lead to massive winning? Well, the only way that's going to happen is if you get massive improvement on the offensive side of the ball. They have to have more weapons. They have to reshape the offensive line. It's a massive offseason for them in terms of trying to flip the offense all kind of in one offseason. That's the task at hand. And I do feel pretty good that Todd Monken's going to have a say in that, because I do think he knows how to identify talent, and I do think that his voice is one that will help that process.
And Jeremy Fowler of ESPN says that he's likely bringing over his run game coordinator from Baltimore, Travis Switzer.
Yeah.
So Switzer, the running game in Baltimore was really good. You had Derrick Henry, obviously, but if they can recreate a little bit of that with Quinshon Judkins, a healthy Quinshon Judkins and Dylan Sampson, then that's where you can blossom truly as an offense, in my opinion, with what Cleveland's got.
And Switzer ties to Northeast Ohio.
Akron
played
kid.
At Akron as an offensive lineman there. So I love the hire of Monken. He was my first choice, honestly, to be Ohio State's offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I was hoping that would happen. I understand why some people are not happy that Jim Schwartz didn't get the job, because the defense had been so good. I like the hiring of Todd Monken. I think it's good. And I'm also happy that Nate Schielhaus and Grant Udinski might be brilliant minds, and they might be really good, young, up and coming coaches. I don't feel like this Cleveland Browns job right now is a job for a newcomer to cut their teeth. And while he doesn't have a ton of head coaching experience and none in the NFL, Monken has been around for a long time. He's had a lot of experience. He's been around a lot of winning organizations. I don't think this Browns job is for a youngster right now.
What are they going to do with Jim Schwartz, who's still under contract for a year? Can they trade has a defensive coordinator ever been traded?
I don't know that. He's under contract. I'm sure it is I'm sure they desperately want him back. I'm sure they want him back. But at the same time, like, I think that's, to me, that's as much of a Jim decision. It's also a Todd decision. Like, how does he want to go with all of that? Because it's not just Jim. The whole defensive staff is under contract for next year. So that staff is relatively in place. If Schwartz doesn't change his mind and he doesn't want to coach this year and doesn't want to be the defensive coordinator, Jason Tarver is there. He's been a defensive coordinator in the league before. He's got high energy. He would coach a very similar system. He's the linebacker coach there. He's awesome. That's a name to maybe look out for on that side of things. But look, I mean, I get Jim's side of it too, from this perspective of, it's like I explained this earlier in the week. It's a little bit like The Bachelor. Like, you're dating three girls at the same time and you happen to be living with one of them, but you can only marry one. And so you're going to be jilted and there's going to be a feeling of that. So I get the emotional, and Jim's an emotional guy. So, like, I get his side of it too, of the disappointment. And I think probably what they're hoping is cooler heads will prevail and he'll come back into the building and get to work.
I know it's not this simple, but if the Browns desperately wanted Jim Schwartz back, they would have just hired him as the head coach, I believe. And if they thought, oh, it's going to be okay, he's under contract, we'll hire someone else and he'll stay and everything will be fine, I think that's very naive of them.
No, I think probably what you were thinking was, I think to your point, if you were to say, we really want him back, but not in spite of, or not despite who we're hiring, if that's what it takes. Right? I mean, that's probably the thought there.
They were willing
to roll the dice on that.
And I'm just like the wording there of desperately, to me, like that, if it was a desperately wanted him, and I don't think it was that case, like if it was a desperately wanting him, and I know I'm simplifying things, but they would have just hired him as head coach.
Yeah. Somebody said a really dumb thing. And that was the point. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
My, the meatloaf!
The Fan.
Hey, it's Bo Bishop here.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The best words to hear at the TSA security checkpoint? You're good to go. All it takes is a little preparation. Get to the airport early. Bring a carry-on bag that fits in the overhead. And have an acceptable ID. Not all state-issued IDs will cut it. Check out tsa.gov/ID and see which TSA acceptable IDs make the grade, like a real ID or passport.
Before you jet, do a little prep. And you're good to go. Check out tsa.gov/ID or the MyTSA app.
In the day, if you wanted to listen to The Fan, you turned on the radio, and that was the end of the story. But now, oh baby, stream us live on The Fan app. TuneIn app, iHeart app, we're everywhere. The Fan, Ohio's streaming destination.
After my accident, people warned me to slow down. I said, I don't know how. Thanks to my VA care team, I haven't.
At VA, we're using technology to help veterans recover faster and live their lives to the fullest. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov/PSA.
Hello, it's...
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are looking at a mix of clouds and sunshine here for your Friday, but still very cold temperatures with highs only in the mid to upper teens here for this afternoon. Winds out of the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And as we head into the weekend, we are still tracking a mix of clouds and sunshine, and temperatures staying into the teens to near 20 here as we head through your Saturday and Sunday. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Never have I been so excited to get a whiff of sweaty jock straps.
It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Yay, football, The Fan. 10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, kids, let's get dumber. I don't even know what the platform... What is this? Was this on a show or is this just a podcast? Is this a podcast?
So this is...
Is this a show?
This is Emmanuel Acho and Shady McCoy Their show on FS1 got banged, so they do this speakeasy talk show now.
But it's like
their
a podcast.
Show got, yeah.
video podcast.
Got nixed.
Show got banged.
86th. Mm. Banged.
Yeah, gone.
They banged it.
Okay. All right, let's get dumber. Go ahead.
Any expectation for Shador Sanders under Todd Monken, I believe, will lead to disappointment. There is nothing about Todd Monken as a head coach that should get you excited. As an offensive coordinator, you could say Lamar Jackson had an MVP season under Todd Monken. As an offensive coordinator, Lamar Jackson had 41 touchdowns and 4 interceptions under Todd Monken. As an offensive coordinator, you can make arguments under Todd Monken. Stetson Bennett won 2 national championships at Georgia under Todd Monken. But as a head coach, no. Nothing about Todd Monken as a head man gets me excited. I need to see who the offensive coordinator is going to be. That's what I need to see. But what I don't yet see, T, is like, how is Todd Monken going to command that locker room, command that group of men? And also, if I'm Shador or anybody in that locker room, why am I listening to Todd Monken? What have you won on an NFL level as a head coach? You're not even a head coach on an NFL level. So I don't even have expectation for Shador under Todd Monken, because I believe any expectations I would have, he would not meet. Because why am I excited about it, T? Why?
So by this rationale, and this isn't a rational argument, so I hesitate to even have a rational conversation around it, but by that rationale, no NFL player should ever listen to any coach who wasn't either a previously fired NFL coach with success or a former college or high school coach. Because what he just said there is, if you are a coordinator, no one should listen to you because you haven't done it at the NFL level. By that rationale, the Rams shouldn't have listened to Sean McVay. The San Francisco 49ers shouldn't have listened to Kyle Shanahan, and so on only forever. Bill Belichick never should have got a job. I mean, by that rationale alone, this is the dumbest damn thing that's been said. Now, I think that was the idea. Because we don't play Emmanuel Acho on this show. We don't. So he's getting the attention. He's winning by us talking about his ignorance and stupidity, because we mentioned the name of the talk show. We mentioned his name. It makes people aware of him. And I think that was the entire agenda, was to make people aware of what he's doing. I don't even think he believed what he said. But there's no accountability for speech anymore. There's no accountability for what you say anymore. You can say anything you want, and as long as you get attention, it wins. And that's what he did with this. He's not going to stand on this argument. I just blew holes in it in 10 seconds. So would anybody else with any credibility. But that's not what it was about. It was about what we're doing and what happened on social. And he won there.
There's so many things that just make me angry about this. And first of all, he says you can make an argument that Lamar Jackson won an MVP. No, there's no argument. He did win an MVP.
He did, yeah.
There's no argument that Stetson Bennett won 2 national championships with him. I have to see who the offensive coordinator is going to be. Idiot, the offensive coordinator is going to be Todd Monken. They're going to be running Todd Monken's offense, whoever they bring in. I wonder what he would say if Nate Shieldhouse had gotten the job. Nate Shieldhouse has never coached ball as a head coach. Mm-hmm. What would he say if Grant Udinski got? What would he say if Jim Schwartz got the job, who has been a head coach before and has been a leader of men, but he's a defensive guy? What would you expect Shador? There also, why are we talking about Shador? Do we know Shador's the quarterback?
You know why.
Yeah.
You know why.
The answer's
like,
in the question.
It's just so...
You guys saw how this was labeled all over all of the sites, right? It was all was, Acho says Shador shouldn't listen to Monken. Mm-hmm. And that was just a little part of it. Shador was kind of a drop into it. He was basically saying nobody on the team should listen to him.
If I was Shador, I would be angry, and I would be calling Emmanuel Acho and doing the old Will Smith... You know, keep my name out your mouth. Hmm. Like, what are we doing here?
And a lion doesn't concern themselves with the opinion of sheep.
And that's fair. I think you mentioned there's no repercussions for saying this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a little bit, because he's not at FS1 anymore. Maybe some of this stuff
ratings.
Is why.
Yeah, that's ratings. Go ahead, Reese.
Yeah, I think I've said this on this station, maybe on this show before, but the next time Emmanuel Acho says something interesting, it'll be the first time.
What you just said, though, that's why this happens.
I would have never have known had Baker not put this in front of me, because I'm not seeking out this idiot. And the
I think it was when you were in transit. I think it happened when you were driving.
I guarantee I wasn't searching it out.
No, I wasn't either. It was Wednesday. I think it was when you were in transit.
West Virginia. Wild and wonderful.
Yeah. Really is. It was when you were in transit that this went. Look, everybody can have a platform now. Anybody can start a podcast. Anybody can do a podcast. And one of the things that we have really lacking in our business right now is accountability for what you say. And because we have the attention span of gnats now as a society, these things come and go, and there aren't any real consequences for what you say. There isn't. And so if you're him and you're just trying to get people to be aware of you, this is the type of nonsense that you do. And he's not the only one. There's tons of athletes that do this. Tons of them that say these outlandish things so that they get a click. And there's an expiration date on this type of stuff. There is. You do this once and everybody mentions your podcast and everybody talks about it, and just like we are. But if you continue to do this, you are not taken seriously anymore. And that's the only way that you can make people who say stuff that is just so off, out of whack, the only way you can truly hold them accountable is to ignore. That's it. Because that's why he's not at FS1 anymore, because people ignored it. That's how it happened. GetUp does this. They run through guests, right? They'll run through guests. And they're like, boy, this guy's great. I love how our audience reacts to him. I like how our other panel guys react to him. And then they come and then they go. Like a year later, it's somebody else in that role. And they're doing it. And they're, oh, you're the guy who's now the disruptor. You're the guy stirring the pot. This is great. But when you're stir the pot guy, there's a shelf life. When you're substance guy, you can have a career. Stir the pot guy has a very limited shelf life. That comes and it goes. So I hesitate even having a rational conversation about what he said, because it is so absurdly stupid. It's just so dumb what he said. And it's been, you disprove it in 10 seconds, right? If the justification is he hasn't been an NFL coach, don't listen to him. Well, then don't listen to anybody who was hired.
Well, you're a
Why would Josh
pick.
Allen listen to Joe Brady? I mean, like, you could do this to every single hire.
Was it Matt Rhule or Steve Wilkes who was the head coach of the Carolina Panthers when they had Baker Mayfield lined up at defensive end running practice? Like, if you're trying to get a job in the league, you're going to listen to the coach because he's boss.
Yeah, again, that's rational. Like, and this isn't a rational. I don't think he was going for that.
No.
I think he was going for attention. Look at me, like Silvio in Seinfeld.
I just don't understand, Bo, when you mentioned there's no integrity. There's none. That's not true, because there's a lot of us that do our job every day and try to be do it well and right in what we believe in. Like, I've said some crazy things, but I believe a lot of them. Like Justin Herbert, my takes on Justin Herbert, like they're not changing until he wins a game. He's going to have to prove it to me that he is a big time quarterback. He's really good. But he's not one of the best. But I believe that. Like, you're I'm not just not out here making stuff up.
You're not up here saying that you don't think Justin Herbert should be allowed to quarterback in the National Football League.
Yeah.
That's not what you're saying. You're saying you don't believe that he can quarterback a team to a Super Bowl. That's not this.
And that's what I...
This is if you came up here and said, Justin Herbert isn't even a football player. He should play hockey. That's not what's happening. That's how stupid this is.
Yes, I just don't understand. Like, I can't understand just... making stuff up, like, just to get clicks. Like, that's ridiculous.
That's our life now, though, bud. That's our life. The amount of things that my boys come to me with that they see on a social media platform that is just utter nonsense, that they don't know if it's real or not, but most of the time they present it as fact. I just had this conversation with NBC on the way to school today. He wanted to bet me again, and this time I was going to win. But the bet was, he was trying to bet me that Indiana wasn't ranked in the preseason. And I said, no, they were ranked in the preseason. And he goes, no, they weren't. Look at this. And he pulled up something on Instagram. And I said, well, that's some dipsticks, almost said the other, some dipsticks opinion on it. That's not the AP or the college football poll. Pull those up. Now, he didn't bet me. I tried doing triple or nothing.
So, like, TikTokers are now doing their own preseason rankings?
Yes.
That's fun.
And the kids can't tell the difference between that and the AP poll. That's how backwards this all is.
Well, maybe in 10 years, it's TikTokers that are going to be getting AP votes if AP voters themselves don't really care about the poll.
Today, a social media influencer was named the NFL's Commissioner of Kindness. I mean, that happened today. I mean, that's how absurd we are right now with all this
Commissioner
stuff.
Commissioner of what?
That's right. Doug LaMaurice in 2 minutes, Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, we got dumber in the previous segment. Let's try to get smarter now with our good buddy Doug LaMaurice, the Bill and Doug Show on YouTube. The Substack is Bill and Doug, osu.substack.com. I'll start there with you. Did you see the Emmanuel Acho stuff?
Refresh me a little bit.
It basically said that nobody with the Cleveland Browns should listen to Todd Monken because he's never been an NFL head coach before. And I just finished making the point that us talking about it is him winning. You can't argue rationally with someone who's just looking for attention and clicks and all of those things. And I said, I think it's one of the things that's really changed in our business over the last 20 years is there isn't a whole lot of responsibility for what you say. We have the attention span of gnats. It comes and it goes. And the job of, because there are so many platforms, it's a little bit like the Silvio making fun of Jerry on Seinfeld. Like, look at me, that type of thing. Like, everybody just wants to be seen. And because we forget it so quickly, it's almost like there's no accountability what is said. How are you navigating all of that?
Yeah, it can be hard because, like, then, like, you say something, people talk about it, people write about it, you get more attention. And there's, like, you know, attention equals money in a lot of things. So it's hard to, and that's the thing, like, all this stuff. You always wonder, like, do people really think that, or are people just saying stuff to get attention that they don't really believe? And if you start going down the path of saying stuff you don't actually think, you're dead. You know what I mean? Like, you're already dead. And so I'd rather be wrong and boring, but say what I actually think. And so then you can sleep at night, right? I mean, I'm wrong all the time.
Me too.
I say, okay, you know, silly, dumb things that you regret, but it's not with a purpose. I have no purpose to what I do here, Bo, but it's at least it's honest, right? So I think, like, and if that doesn't survive, then I guess I'll go do something else, right?
Same.
Because how can you sleep? How can you sleep living? It's hard enough to defend the things that you believe that are wrong, and you're like, hey, man, I was wrong.
Yeah.
But, like, to try to defend something that, like, well, I didn't really mean it to begin with. It's like, what are we doing? How can you live that way? But a lot of people do.
I've always told anybody who's ever interned for me through the years, and I've told anybody who will, if anybody asks me, I always say this, like, I just kind of have a rule, like, I wouldn't say anything on this show that I wouldn't say to Ryan Day.
Yes. Yes. And here's the thing about, like, and it's great, right? There's outside media, kind of, and for lack of a better word, inside media. Are you somebody who's in the room occasionally? Do you interact with the people that you talk about? And when you're outside media, and there's a lot of good outside media, right? Fan-driven media that starts there that I think has improved the business. But when you're not in the room, when you're not facing the people that you're talking about, it allows you to kind of, like, just be like, whatever. And sometimes that's honest, right? Because you don't face the consequences. But then also it can lead to recklessness because you never have to face the consequences of it. Of, like, I said this thing about Todd Monken, and now I'm in the news conference asking Todd Monken a question, right?
Absolutely.
So that, like, it makes you be responsible. Also, sometimes it can make people shy away. So outside media can be good. But the idea of, like, would you say it to his face? Because, I mean, I agree with that. And that doesn't mean, and hopefully we're still critical. Mm-hmm. We still offer things, but we would be critical. Be like, Ryan, like, this isn't working. I don't think that, right? So
yes,
that's a good way to think of it.
Yeah. And I always think, like, would I say it exactly in those words? Maybe not. But if I was to be back in a press conference with Ryan, I would raise my hand and I'd ask the question and I would phrase it in a way of my criticism. So that to me, that allows me to sleep at night, I guess, is, you know, that little kind of rule that I've always had. What did you make of the Arthur Smith hire here?
Yeah, so I was actually working on a story. This is how good I am at my job. I'm, like, pounding out a story of possible OC candidates And I look up and it's like, oh, they hired Arthur Smith half an hour ago. And I was like, I really need to be better at this. But what I had done is I had gone through and I found 24 people who had called plays in the NFL in the last 3 years who were not currently employed calling plays. And I was going through that list of 24 people, right? And I thought, it's coming from this group. And then, because I had been on your show and other places saying, like, I think the hire is going to be the NFL cycle end and who's left. And Ohio State will hire one of those guys. But I had five guys in a top group of people I thought would be great for Ohio State, but were too good, were too in demand, and Ohio State couldn't get them. Mm-hmm. And those five people were Joe Brady, now hired as the Bills head coach, Todd Monken, now hired as the Browns head coach, Brian Daboll, hired as the Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, still out there, probably going to get an NFL OC job, mm-hmm. and Arthur Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So Arthur Smith to me was in the most attractive group of available people with NFL experience, and I thought he was so attractive, Ohio State couldn't get him. So it's like, what do I think of the hire? I think they hired a guy who was overqualified for this, and I didn't think he'd be interested.
Yeah, and I think now what we see is when there are going to be outside hires, this is where it's going to go. And because of some of the recruiting stuff that's changed in the de-emphasizing of, you know, high school recruiting, which we're also seeing in real time happening here, I think because of all of those things, this is now something that's very, very attractive. And my hunch is that you will see a lot more of this, that this is kind of the way Ryan's going to go when he has to hire a coordinator, defensive, offensive. He doesn't have the no-brainer in-house. Then go get an NFL guy for a year or two, and that's probably the expectation.
And then when you have somebody, maybe at some point it's your guy, James, right? James Laurinaitis. He establishes himself, and then when it's open, it's like, you know what? He is ready. I'm going to make him the play caller, just like with Hartline. Maybe somebody else. But when you don't have that, when you aren't 100% sure you have somebody in the building, go to the NFL and find somebody. And like right now, the Jets fired their offensive coordinator. The Jets are interviewing people for offensive coordinator. The people they're interviewing are not as qualified as Arthur Smith. Ohio State's going to have a better offensive coordinator than the Jets. And again, it's like, well, stylistically and too many tight ends or whatever. It's like, I don't care about that. He'll work within the Ryan Day offense. He'll bring new ideas. He's eminently qualified for the job. He was an NFL play caller 12 days before he got hired by Ohio State. So like, that to me is I can't believe they got a guy like that. But then the thing that people have to do is Arthur Smith might leave in a year.
Yeah.
So you have to deal with that. You can't be like over angsty. What are we going to do if Arthur Smith leaves? You're going to get somebody else like him, or you're going to be sure you have somebody inside who's ready. But either of those two options are pretty good. And I think this is an A hire to me.
You and I have always talked about this. One of the things that's pretty cool, I think, about college football, college sports in general, is you're really rooting for laundry. Like, there's always a shelf life of how long people are going to be there. And I think what you just described on the coaching front at the coordinator, like don't fall in love with these guys. They're going to be here a year, maybe two. That's it. It's the same thing now with players.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be here a year, maybe two. That's it. And that shift is happening. It's already happened, but I mean, it's continuing to happen in real time is that you are never more than now rooting for laundry.
And you're rooting for who your grandma liked. You're rooting for who your uncle liked. You're rooting for who your sister and your brother liked and your friends liked, and you're rooting for community. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's all those things that's what college football has to maintain. That's what Ohio State needs to be focused on maintaining. You're rooting for a feeling, you're rooting for community, you're rooting for what it means in your life. And yes, Julian Sain and Jeremiah Smith and Arvel Reese matter. Of course they do. Mm-hmm. But it's bigger than that. And so all this other stuff, right? You understand the things that move. But like the things that are deeply rooted in people, like that's where we always are double checking them on, like, don't screw that up. Don't screw that up. Right? Mm-hmm. So time marches forward. Progress is great. But you're rooting for your community more than an individual guy who has the ball in his hand.
We had some audio earlier in the show from Carnell and Caleb talking about, off of Caleb's podcast that he does with his brother about how, you know, they would have loved one more shot at Indiana. And it kind of got me thinking, like, I think the best team won. I think Indiana was the best team and they won it. And I don't have any sort of, this isn't 2022 or 15 or other years where you go, gosh, I think maybe this was the best team and it didn't happen. Certainly Ohio State was capable. You've had about a month to think about kind of the legacy of the 2025 team. Was it an opportunity lost for you, or did this team do kind of what was expected?
I think probably in hindsight, you look at the experience, right? The 2024 team was so experienced, mm-hmm. and the 2025 team just wasn't, in a way that felt like it mattered against Miami and Indiana, who were more experienced. They've corrected. They're going to be more experienced in 2026 with a lot of the transfers they brought in. And so this amazing story for college football, I think in the end was the right answer. And it, of course, it soothes it, because Ohio State just had it the year before. And was this the team? Like, in the moment, it felt like this is it. This is the first time they're going back to back. They're going down in history. Mm-hmm. But then it was like, was it, what is it like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this team didn't do it. Well, you know, first year starter at quarterback, some issues on the offensive line, you can kind of see it. But when we watch the NFL draft in April, mm-hmm. I think everyone's going to have another one of like, oh my God.
Yeah.
These guys didn't win. They just had like four guys go in the top 11. What are we doing here? Right? Because the talent, I mean, you see Sonny's projected to go ninth now. They could have four. They could have four in the top 11. Caleb Downs, Arvell, Reese, Carnell, Tate, and Sonny Styles, four top 12 picks in the NFL draft. And then you're going to be like, where's the Indiana guy getting drafted? It's like, well, the quarterback went one. When's the next one going? How did Ohio State not win the national championship? There'll be some of that for sure.
For sure, yeah. And that, but I think there's a lesson in that too, in that it's, yes, you had this, the high-end part of it, but what Indiana had is they had it in waves, and they had old guys. Yeah. They had old guys in waves, and old guys are better than young guys as it stands right now. Be interesting to see. I'm endlessly fascinated by the team-building part of this stuff, and that's something we can get into a little bit later down the line. Always good talking to you, my friend. Stay warm. Be well.
Thanks, man. Same to you.
All right, there he goes. Doug LeMaurice, the Bill and Doug Show on YouTube. Bill and Doug, osu.substack.com on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Get you three things coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
File now with
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Can't get enough of your favorite Fan content? Good news, we're on all the digitals. Follow 971 The Fan on X, Facebook, YouTube, The Talk, and Gram. Your digital home for endless shenanigans. The Fan.
Disaster strike, fires, hurricanes, earthquakes. Direct Relief delivers. No politics, no red tape. Direct Relief is a lifeline to people in crisis. So check them out at directrelief.org. And if you can, donate.
Finding great.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This hotline is sponsored by Columbus Worthington Air and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
The friends are the guests and listeners. Reeser and Baker just work here.
Back to work. Back to work. Everybody. Work, 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 work. Work, work.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
I got to tell you, I know why they're doing it, but I cannot stand this trend of the companies releasing their Super Bowl ads on social a full week before the Super Bowl. Bud Light's doing this. They did it with, there's a Clydesdale one, Eagle one that they did, and there's a Gillis one that they just dropped. And it's like, man, just save those, man. You're still going to get the same hits when you run them after. People are going to be looking for them after. It stinks, man. I do like the commercials during the Super Bowl. I like sitting there and not knowing what's coming. So that's I'm not sure why they do that. I know why. I'm sure they want it for the clicks, but it's kind of ruins the Super Bowl viewing part of it. What do we have in the poll today, Reese?
Daily Fan poll asks, with no football on this weekend, what will you be watching most over the next few days? Your options: college basketball, hockey, NBA, or other.
So this is going to get Jacob Reimer quite excited. Kansas plays BYU tomorrow in basketball. So that's the number one and number two pick in this year's NFL draft going head-to-head with Darren Peterson and A.J. Jabonsa. They play tomorrow at 4:30 in Lawrence, and there were KU students lined up for that on Tuesday, 6 a.m.
Be careful mentioning Darren Peterson and A.J. DeBanza in the same sentence, because if Reimer's driving, he may drive off the road.
Peterson's unreal. I haven't seen much of DeBanza, but I'll be at youth basketball, but I'm definitely going to DVR that one to see it. All right, time for three things on a Friday. Hit it, guys.
One, two, three
things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, number one for me, here is your update for the middle school drop-off. So all week we've gone to school, aside from Monday, the rest of the week we've gone. It has taken no less than 15 minutes to go three blocks. No less. The kids could have just got out and they would have made it. Every time we've barely made it under the tardy bell. I've lamented the idea of people will not do the right thing in society and pull all the way around. So instead of eight cars getting out, it's four. And because of that, you can't get everybody in. I've lamented the fact that that someone from the school isn't waving the people who won't want to be in society along. All of those things. Today was a new one, though. The car directly in front of us was my neighbor.
Did they listen?
Yeah. My neighbor dropped off at the front door instead of pulling all the way around. Now, he's a no names. He's a former college football player. Now he's got daughters. So I said to NBC, I'm like, I don't think I would do that if I had a daughter. And he's like, yes, you would. You'd be soft. And I'm like, I don't think I would. But now we got to have a conversation. It's a sad day. Sad day.
I can see it from the father's viewpoint, but it does not make the crime acceptable.
I'm just going to ask him, if your daughter were your son, would you have done that? And I think his answer is going to be no.
Turn it around on him. Be like, well.
No. I think it's going to be no.
If you're wondering to yourself, why the heck did Ryan Day hire Arthur Smith? Well, he might answer that for you tonight on a special Ryan Day radio show on The Fan at 6 o'clock.
What is this? Is this regularly scheduled, or what is this one about? Just a catch-up?
Just an off-season catch-up.
So, I believe this was originally scheduled for National Signing Day, which is Wednesday.
Oh, you're right.
But there were some conflicts, so it is a special edition tonight.
Wow. What a useless day in the calendar.
Yeah, that's
sorry right. to all that's... of those signing college... letters of intent on that day, but
that's what it is. You're right.
You know,
first thing for me, congratulations to Detroit Red Wings forward Patrick Kane. Of course, he was a longtime Chicago Blackhawk. He became the highest scoring United States born player in NHL history last night. He had an assist on the Red Wings' first goal of the game in the second period. That gave him 1,375 points in his career. Former Dallas Stars legend Mike Modano had held that record for 18 years. Modano got the record when he was 40. I believe he passed Phil Housley, if I'm not mistaken. Kane has done that just a couple months after turning 37. By the way, the team in the NHL that Patrick Kane has scored the most points against?
Sure.
Your Columbus Blue Jackets. So 90 of those points have come against the CBJ.
Great.
Kick Buddy Garrity while you're here.
What fun.
So Matthews will get that, though. If he can stay healthy, he'll be the American-born record holder at some point.
How about that? American-born record playing in Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Number two for me, it's tournament time for the two littles on the basketball side of things. So what that means is you go to a destination, you play a series of games in pool play, and then that leads to bracket play, and your schedule is completely nebulous. You have no idea when you're going to play. You're on pins and needles. I've signed up for three of my next four weekends this way. The other thing that happens in most of these tournaments is they are utterly lawless. So whatever rules you've played for in your league is now out the window, and now travel basketball becomes AAU for 3 weeks. So needless to say, you can probably tell by my tone, I'm not exactly thrilled about it.
Second thing from me, so a couple weeks ago, Ohio State fans were wondering why the heck the Buckeyes aren't doing enough in the transfer portal, wondering what Ohio State was going to do with their offensive coordinator and how Ohio State planned to even make the college football playoff in 2026. It felt like the sky was falling in certain parts of the fan base. I'm looking at 24/7's transfer portal rankings, and Ohio State's fifth. Mm-hmm. Maybe asking yourself, Eric, why did you check out the transfer portal rankings on a Friday? Well, Miami vaulted to fourth after the addition of Darian Mensah. And really, with all of these transfer portal rankings, that LSU commands the top spot with 40 portal persons signed, as nobody knows anything with this. But I think you can have enough faith in what Ryan Day and company are doing over at Ohio State to still be back on the field in the college football playoff this season.
Reese, you had mentioned this earlier in the show.
Sure.
But it sounds like, Bo, the Browns have hired Travis Switzer to be their offensive coordinator. I'm seeing a post here on Twitter, and Nathan Zagura has reposted it.
There you go.
So I mean, Travis Switzer sounds like going to be your offensive coordinator. He worked with Todd Monken in Baltimore as their run game coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of those things will, it's going to happen pretty quick now. Like the staff, you start to fill out a staff pretty quick. And this is a 60-year-old guy who's been coaching this league for 30 years. Like, he's got a list. I don't think it's going to take long to put it together. Finally, number three for me. This may come as a surprise because I complain about the weather a lot. I'm fine with this. It's sunny. Give me sun. It's cold. Fine. No big deal. The sun's out. I'll take it all day long. I'll take this over 18 and gray and wind all day. I'm fine with this. I can prepare for this. The sun makes me feel good. I'm good.
Yeah, I think the sun makes everything better. So I'd said earlier in the program that I wouldn't put money on Oregon winning the national championship. That's not to say the Oregon Ducks aren't going to be one of the favored teams. The Athletic pulled their whole staff, or their college football staff, and the Oregon Ducks, got 9 first place votes to who's winning the national championship in 2026. Notre Dame got 5, Texas 4, Indiana and Ohio State with 3 apiece, and then Georgia, LSU, Miami, and Texas Tech each got 1.
Final thing for me, it is a big weekend for the Columbus Blue Jackets. They're in Chicago tonight, then St. Louis tomorrow night. Rothman and Ice coming up a half hour from now at 12:30. We'll talk to the Blue Jackets general manager, Don Waddell, about probably the coaching change and this hot streak and maybe the upcoming trade deadline as well.
Safe travels, Bake.
Thank you.
Full report of your experience down in St. Louis expected on Monday. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead.
Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes.
The Fan.
Looking to sell your home?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FIRST.